بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. Respected elders, brothers, prospective Hujjaj Ikram, and mothers and sisters, Allah's fazal, Allah's karam, Allah's shukar, alhamdulillah, that these kinds of programs are taking place in our country to educate the Hujjaj concerning Hajj. In fact, from many countries of the world, people are quite impressed, and they mention this, the way that the South African Hujjaj have been educated concerning Hajj. They are impressed with it. In fact, in one program that was conducted, the ambassador of Saudi Arabia was sitting in the program, and he was really, really affected to see that such kinds of programs are taking place in our country. Allah's fazl that we have ulama that have been quite regularly there, who are well glued up with what's happening in this Mubarak place and how to benefit maximum from it. So we should try to take part in these programs and get full benefit. And really, this is it. I know from the experiences that I have been in the previous years for Hajj, that those that never sat in the programs, where I clearly noticed that they would not even partake in the program that we had have in Makkah Mukarramah, such events would take place, such kinds of conditions would come, that they are completely lost. And they would end up in so much of distress and disappointment and problems and difficulties solely because they do not want to take part in this program. So it's very, very important that we take part in this program, even if we have been previously for Hajj, to make this, if we've been for Umrah before, but to benefit, something or the other we will pick up. So inshallah, with this in mind, I call upon my Ustaz, Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Sahib, to address you, inshallah. He will start. We have divided the program, basically, you can say it, into five sections. The first section will be concerning Madinatul Munawwara, then on the Azmat of Makkatul Mukarramah, then on the Umrah, and on the 5 days, and finally will be the questions and answers. So as the program is carrying on, if there is something that is bugging you, or if there is any point that you feel you need to know about, you can jot it down, and in the end you can ask us. As for the section on the way that our mothers and sisters are, Mrs. Gogai will be there. She'll be taking down your questions, and she'll be contacting by telephone her father, and he will be transmitting the questions to us, and we will answer all the questions, inshallah. So, brothers can come closer. Please, more on to address us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Malik Yawm al-Din As-Salatu Was-Salamu Ala Rasulih Sayyidina Muhammadin Wa Ala Alihi Wa Ashabihi Ajma'in. A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Inna Allah Wa Malaikatahu Yusalluna Ala An-Nabiyya Ayyuhal Ladhina Amanu Sallu Alayhi Wa Sallimu Taslima Allahumma Salli Ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Wa Ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammadin Wa Barik Wa Sallim. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا ناجيتم الرسول فقدموا بين يدي نجواكم صدقة وقال تعالى ولو أنهم إذ ظلموا أنفسهم جاءوك فاستغفروا الله واستغفر لهم الرسول لوجدوا الله توابا رحيما وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون صدق الله العظيم. My dear friends, first and foremost we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq to gather here this afternoon and for us to share with you the importance of Makkah Muazzama, Medina Munawwara. First and foremost, I want all to understand, those who are sitting here, our sister at the madrasa, and those over the receivers, that those of us that have now have been making preparations to go on this very, very important journey must understand that we have been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the overwhelming majority of the Muslims. If you have to take an analysis and compare the Muslim population with that number that actually makes it to Makkah Muazzama, Medina Munawwara, then it's a drop in the ocean. What also comes to my mind is when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَدِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, Ya Ibrahim, announce to mankind that they must come for Hajj. Hajj simply means visiting the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So his big problem was, Ya Allah, you are asking me to announce to mankind that they must come and visit your house. And if you try and visualize in your mind very carefully the geography of that moment of time, handful of people are living around Baytullah. In fact, this command Allah Ta'ala gave after the Baytullah was built. Look around, imagine now, very few people around, and the command of Allah is, Ya Ibrahim, announce to mankind they must visit this house. So he immediately explained to Allah, Ya Allah, I don't understand. Mankind definitely is not these few people here. Number two, this place is such, there's not even a blade of grass here. So two things. Mankind, you mean mankind that will be born till Qiyamah Day. You want me to announce to mankind till Qiyamah Day they must visit your house. Tick. How will the sound of my voice travel to mankind? Nice question, mashallah. Second question, Allah, who will come here? There's nothing to attract anybody here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Ibrahim, you stand on that mountain, Jabal Abu Qubais, I think it was, where the palace is now, and you make the announcement. I will make sure that the sound of your voice reaches man that is current throughout the dunya of that time. That man that is unborn in the mother's womb, that man which is still in the backs of the fathers till the day of Qiyamah, that's my job. You do your part, I will transmit the sound of your voice to all till the day of Qiyamah. Are you with me? As far as the attraction goes, not to worry. Allah said, يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَىٰ كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. Simple meaning, that man will come to this place from every nook and corner of the world, be they come on camels or they come on foot. Okay. Khalilullah alayhi salam made the announcement. Allah fulfilled his zimmedari of transmitting the sound of his voice. It is also mentioned that those people in whose destiny Allah decreed that they will come here, Allah gave them the tawfiq not only to listen to the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam, but also to say in response to that at that time, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Just in passing, Quran tells us, Allah removed from Adam's back alayhi salam the entire Bani Adam. All of us were there, I was there, you was there. And Allah asked us one simple question, Alastu bi Rabbikum, am I not your Rabb? All of us said, Qalu bala, we replied. So understand the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My point to you is, keep this factor in mind. Only those in whose destiny, in whose taqdeer, Allah had decreed that they will come here, will make it. Be it early in life, be it late in life. Maybe later on, inshallah, I will share with you some dramas where people reached the Mubarak land but were unable to fulfill the requirements of Hajj later on, inshallah. So my focus now is to help us understand we have been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from those billions of people. So thus, we must regard this as a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One. Number two, between now and the time for departure, there is still time. Only Allah alone knows whether we'll board the plane. I want us to live between hope and fear. Hope that, Ya Allah,
Now that you set the ball rolling and the wheel is turning, O Allah, let it turn until I complete my mission. O Allah, do not stop the wheel from turning. It must not happen that I get turned back or some obstacle may come my way. So live between the hope that since the intizam is now made, the wheels are in motion, inshallah you'll get there. But have the fear as well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must not deprive me from this Mubarak journey. So this keep in your mind. Okay. The topic for now, begin inshallah, is Madina Munawwara. Why we are discussing Madina Munawwara? First, for one reason. Generally it is the custom of the South African Muslims. Okay. That when they go on this Mubarak journey of Hajj, Durban, Johannesburg, Jeddah finally, and from there all go to Madina Munawwara. And they spend about 10 odd days there, and thereafter they leave for Makkah, Muazzama. This is the normal trend, okay, among our community. So therefore we are discussing Madina Munawwara first. So let's get to Jeddah safely. By the way, our discussion here this afternoon is more on a practical level, not so much on philosophy, what have you. If time permits, I will do it. But we want to try and cover up this afternoon the practical aspects, step by step, as to what is expected of you. And inshallah, if some virtue or some discussion coming between, we will share that with you. But right now, focus on the fact, on the practical side. We are now in Jeddah. From Jeddah, we now eventually are heading for Madina Munawwara. We are taught by our elders that you must understand, very, very important, you are now about to, in a few hours' time after you leave Jeddah, about to make your unworthy, term should I use, appearance before the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a debate among the ulama, which city is more virtuous, more greater? Is it Makkah? Is it Madina Munawwara? Is it Makkah Muazzama, Madina Munawwara? Let the debate carry on, mashallah. All the two schools of thought have given their views and the evidence they submitted as to why Makkah is greater, why Madina is greater. Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has decreed there is no ground more sacred than the ground of Madina Munawwara. Why? Because Nabiyye Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only spent 53 years in Makkah Muazzama. Thereafter he came to Madina Munawwara where he spent 10 years. And thereafter what happened? He passed away there, he is buried there, he is still there even now. And he will remain there till the day of Qiyamah. So the point is very simple. Between the two cities, where has his stay been longer? Makkah Muazzama, Madina Munawwara. Madina Munawwara. In fact, our ulama have taught us, if you have to compare the whole universe of Allah, the arsh of Allah is that special ground up there. No ground more sacred than that particular ground. Take. But then after our Nabi came in this verse, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't forget, he said himself, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Adam alayhi salam, ki ya Adam, had I not created Muhammad, I would not have created you. Had I not created Muhammad, I would not have created the universe. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, the one whom Allah made the objective of creating the universe, imagine the azmat. The poet writes, Ya sahibul jamal wa ya sayyidul bashar, min wajhaka al-munir laqad nawwara al-qamar la yumkinu as-sana'u kama kana haqqahu. Last line, baad az khuda buzurg tui qissa mukhtasar. The last line is of significance. The poet writes, ke ya nabi, I do not have the ability, nor the pen, nor the vocabulary, nor the words, nor the literacy to praise you according to your words. You are, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest. So everything about Nabiyye Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is absolutely blessed. Anything that the Nabi touched became blessed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are you with me? So our ulama have taught us right now in this moment of time, that Mubarak piece of ground on which is lying on the right side, the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is even more superior than the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That same arsh, when our master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about to step on it, he bent down to remove his shoes. Allah said, "Ya Muhammad, what are you doing?" "I'm taking off my shoes. I'm about to step on the Mubarak piece of ground." Allah said, "No, come with your shoes." "But Ya Allah, in Wadiya Muqaddas, Quran records that, you said to Musa alayhi salam, 'Fakhla na'alik, innaka bil wadi al muqaddasi tuwa.' Ya Musa, remove your shoes. You are walking on sacred ground. This ground, arsh, is more sacred than Wadiya Muqaddas. So I have to take off my shoes." Allah said, "No, come with your shoes." "Ya Allah, I don't understand." Allah said, "Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the difference is, when I ordered Musa alayhi salam to remove his shoes, I wanted the dust from Wadiya Muqaddas to give barakah to the soul and the feet of Musa alayhi salam. And here I want the dust from your shoes to give barakah to my arsh. This is Muhammadur Rasulullah. Understand something. I'm taking you somewhere, my dear friends. That Mubarak dust from the shoes of Allah's Nabi is giving barakah to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, thumma inshallah, in a few days time, all of you whom Allah has chosen will be placing your Mubarak feet on that same ground where mocked the master Muhammadur Rasulullah." Now, can you thank Allah enough, my friends? Never can thank. Okay, we are now in Madinah Munawwar. Okay, on the way to Madinah, our ulama, our elders taught us, try and focus your mind. Try and bring in your heart humility. Repeat to yourself over and over again, am I worthy? Do I qualify? What is it about me that Allah has chosen me? I am not fit to appear before the Mubarak presence of the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think of that and do two things. Thank Allah for the favor, one. And repeatedly continue as long as possible. But don't tire yourself out. Let the shock be there. And darood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must continue. And finally, inshallah, when you land in Madinah Munawwara, as you put your unworthy feet on the Mubarak land of Madinah Munawwara, thank Allah. Okay, Ya Allah, I thank you, at least you brought me here. Oh Allah, the distance between here and the Rosa is not very long, very short. Oh Allah, please, you brought me here, do not deny me now my presence before your beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, long story short, we'll get to the hotel, inshallah al-Aziz, we'll sort ourselves out. Very, very important as well. Take things cool and calm. I know we're anxious to get there, but don't be in a hurry. In fact, it comes in the hadith, when some people came to meet Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were so anxious to meet him, that the moment they arrived and they just parked the camels in the camel parking lot, as you may call it, they all rushed to the mosque. Don't forget, they came from a long journey. They're so eager, they rushed. The captain of the team, he didn't rush. He got things settled down, made sure everything is in order. Then he went, he had a shower. He put on fresh clothes. He applied attar. And with humility, with dignity, he walked and came. And there the master is seeing him coming. And the other guys rushed and came. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam appreciated the amal of this man. Find the desire is there, my friends, don't forget. We're going to be in a few moments' time in Allah Nabi's presence. How can we appear there when the clothes are dirty, maybe smelly, maybe... Actually, we're traveling in air conditioned comfort, but in our own way. Right? We have to be fresh. And then when you get there in front, your mind must be fresh. Right? Very, very, very clear. Okay. So, don't be in a hurry. Inshallah, you'll get there. We settle down, we relax, depending on the time. Right, you'll have to use your own judgment depending on the what time you are there, because usually Ba'd al-Isha they close the masjid and they open at Fajr time. Okay. You have now freshened up, you applied attar. Now there is a verse in the Quran which came down, and that verse only applied once. Let me explain the background first. You see, when you're going to stand before Allah's Nabi, you must imagine yourself, it is me and my master. And you must be unconscious of the understanding around you. It is me and my master and we are in dialogue. I'm being the talking, master is being the listening. So you are getting what is called private interview. In Huzur's time, many a munafiqeen, right, Muslims were given open freedom. If you have any hassle, etc., come and sit by me to discuss your problem. Okay. So, munafiqeen used to put an obstruction, cut across the Musliman, and they will come by the master and talk with him unnecessary things, just to harass those who have a genuine problem. Allah sent Quran down. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu idha najaytumur rasool faqaddimu bayna yaday najwaakum sadaqa. O believers, when you wish to seek an interview with the master, give some charity first before you come here. When the munafiqin saw, you have to buy, you have to pay and then go, they sat down. So this gave now freedom for the Musliman. The moment the Allah sent that verse because of them. The very first one to seek private interview for some personal matter was Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Don't forget, he is cousin and he is son-in-law. And he must now pay for the interview because Quran said so. He gave the charity and then he came. Interview class, Allah said hukum, okay, that command is cancelled. But the Quranic verse is still there. So our ulama tell us, despite the fact that the command is cancelled, the verse is still there, you are now going to seek private audience with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, therefore give charity. Now, you're going to come out of the hotel, the by the time you're going to find one worthy person to give you a charity, by, and you know, you've been a true-minded, huh? What do I do? So my do what like my wife does, and I'm sure many of our sisters do that as well. When we can't come, what we do? Mullah, we take out a couple of rand, cents, we put one side. This is now sadaqah. And when the time comes, you give it. So put that one side and there you go. Inshallah, the fact is, you made it in Shkira. Now you get to the Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Masjid is very massive. Okay? Normally, it is taught to us, we must go via the original door, which is called Bab al-Jibreel. Okay? But I won't tell you that. Masjid is very, very big. Imagine, not just the ashable at the mosque. This is small, but imagine this is massive. You are staying that in, and Baba Jim is on the other side. You got elderly people, etc., etc. Don't worry, you enter whichever door you like. You won't go in the detail of how to enter, but normally the Sunnah method is enter with the right foot and make the dua, Allah maftahdi, etc. That you look in the kitabs. Let's get on the main point, the time is going. When you enter the mosque, again, your heart will be beating, am I here? I know lots of people said to me, this Mulisa Ghulam Bhai, that you know, when I put my foot in the Mubarak Masjid of Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I ask myself, am I really here? And many of you first timers, especially, are going to go have that fear. Am I really here? And there you can see the rosa right in front of you there. Will I make it there? Your heart will be beating. But no hurry, walk with dignity, with respect. And I can tell you one thing, the most beautiful masjid in the entire dunya is Masjid Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, very important advice. Ignore right now the superficial beauty of the mosque. Focus on your mind on him. Because you're going to meet him, the most important creation of Allah. Are you going to allow yourself to look around here and study the superficial beauty? No. Attention there. Get to that place which is called Riyazul Jannah. Okay, let's use some imagination here. Imagine this is Riyazul Jannah, this whole masjid, this Jamaat Khana, right? On my right, which is your left, that is where the master's house is. If you look at the first sub, his door was right there. Okay? He used to walk straight and his musalla was right here. This whole section is now that original mosque which is called Riyazul Jannah. Why? The master says, between my house and my mimbar is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. That's the actual location of Nabi's mosque in the Nabi's time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The whole mosque is the Nabi's, but that is the original site. Try and get to that if it is not makruh time. Not makruh time,
first perform 2 rakat tahiyyatul masjid. That you must do all the time. Okay. And then further, make another 2 rakat now to thank Allah for actually allowing you the privilege of setting foot in this Mubarak mosque. Also try to visualize in your mind and think about it, ki Allahu Akbar, in this entire area, my Nabi's Qadam was everywhere. And definitely the barakat of the Nabi's Qadam is still here even now. Oh Allah, let me enjoy the benefits of the barakat of the Mubarak Qadam of your beloved Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah. You finish your salah, etc. Now, you're going to come this way. That's how it is. And then you will move in that direction. And definitely the first time in Ghulam Bai, I can imagine now how you're going to finish, inshallah. As you get close, you see a big crowd of people. Now you are getting there. Your main objective now is to stand before the master and say your few simple words of salam. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Habiballah. As-salamu alayka ayyuha an-nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. These are very basic salam. Now when you're going to get there, you'll notice something very odd. My tone of salam was quite loud now. Now imagine if all of us just stood here together and all of us are rhyming away, As-salatu as-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, with that volume, what will be the condition? What will be the condition? Our collective sound will be quite loud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of extreme respect for his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah sent down on verse, we don't know in the background. Allah ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. O you who brought iman, do not raise your voice above the Nabi's voice. You and I got no idea what was the volume, whether 3 or whether 4. And then, وَلَا تَجْحَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْدِكُمْ. Neither talk to him in the same tone that you talk to each other. Now two things here. Don't raise your voice above his voice, 1. 2, don't talk to him like you talk to each other. When we're going to stand by him there and make salam, the master himself says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man salla alayya qabri sami'atuhu, those who come to my qabr and tender salam to me, I hear your salam. Our Nabi, as far as our iman goes, is hayatul Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we're going to stand there, he said it himself, so we got iman in that. Our Nabi is hearing the sound of our salam, he's hearing the sound of our voices. So now, if we're going to stand there and tender salam to him like I'm doing it right now, right, loud or even, Allah is warning us, أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. All your good deeds will be wiped out and you won't even know it. Ya Allah, you know when that verse came down, my friends, many sahaba were so frightened. There was one sahaba, maybe his voice was like mine. That man stopped coming to the masjid, I'm not going because I cannot control the loudness of my voice, lest if I say something and my voice is too loud, Allah warns, أَنْتَ بَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. All your good deeds are gone. Puri zindagi ki mehnat, one shot is gone. And those of you who understand computer, one delete button accident mara by whatever data is there is gone. So imagine one shot, everything gone, too frightened. Hundreds of people are there, and wallah, those who have gone will bear witness. All of them are saying salam, and the sound of the salam is in the very low tone. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. That is too loud also. Right? Even more softer. All are saying it, and there is no one disturbing the other. Stand there with great azmat and humility. This is a basic salam right now. There are more things, inshallah, afterwards, I'll say, right? When you finish your salat and salam with him, focus your mind to Allah and say, Ya Allah, now I thank you very much for according me the privilege of standing before your beloved and tendering my salam to him. Thank Allah for that. And also very important, as you leave, as you meet people, they will say, Bhai, when you get there, please convey my salams. Right? And I'll tell you what's going to happen. You will have hundreds of people asking you to do so. When you're going to get there, you'll forget everybody. One or two may come in your mind. So those who come in mind, but don't forget, Ghulam. You must say, Abdul Rahim Khan, my colleague, audience school, ask me, O Prophet of Allah, to convey his salam. I bring his salam to you, Allah, accept it. But what about the others whom you've forgotten? Because it's a big zimmedari now to convey. So you must say, O Prophet of Allah, Ya Rasulallah, many people ask me to convey their salams to you. Some I remember and others I don't right now. O beloved of Allah, accept their salams. And O beloved of Allah, all of them, I am asking you on their behalf to intercede for them on the day of Qiyamah. And as you will go for the next 10 days, morning, afternoon, you keep going there, and as you stand there, I promise you, you will start remembering one, 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 one. And if you forgot the others too, there's your, each time you go there, mention this last line here. O Messenger of Allah, O beloved of Allah, all those whom I don't remember right now, accept their salam. Very simple. When you finish the salam with him, you move about a meter to your right, and there is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and you convey salam. Very simple. As-salamu alayka ya Abu Bakr Siddiq. Simple, I'm teaching you. You've got no time for detail here. And you step on the other side, and you thank Umar ibn Khattab. And if you remember, speak in your own words. If you follow me very carefully here, yeah, use simple language. Don't worry about the intricate Arabic there. Because what's the use? You're going to be reading away like a parrot here. Manayas inivana kuruma. Simple words I'm teaching you. Ya Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. On behalf of the entire ummah, I say jazakumullah to you for all that you have done. And of course the same with the master himself. When you get to Umar ibn Khattab, say the same thing. Say, Ya Umar, O leader of the believers, accept my salam, accept the salam of all those that asked me to bring salam to you, for both of them. And I am asking Allah to thank you for all that you have done, for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Allah, and for the sake of beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is now your initial first visit. Now don't forget, we are doing it very, very briefly. When you go on in the future, then you can keep going and you can add. Two things that you can add, very simple. Number one, you see, people who embrace Islam distant, they made it farz on themselves. Say for example, a Muslim became Muslim in Yemen. Nabi is in Medina. He or she will make sure, I am somehow or the other going to get to Medina Munawwara. I did my kalima in Ali's hand, by Khalid ibn Walid or Maaz ibn Jabal. But I'm going to make sure I'm going to get there so that I may now read my kalima shahada in the presence of Nabi-e Kareem. Can you understand me? So now, imagine this. You are now in front of the master, and you will say in simple words, Ya Rasulullah, I testify there is none worthy of worship except Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulu. And I testify that you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is Allah's slave and Allah's messenger. Or Allah's messenger and Allah's slave. So that means now you have now read your kalima in his presence and he has heard your kalima. He will testify qiyamah day, Ya Allah, this ummati of mine read kalima in my presence. Got it, very simple. At the third point, there's a verse that I read, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down one verse in favor of all believers. You see, in the beginning, if a person did some crime, now how does he get Allah to grant him forgiveness? Now he should be worried. And they used to come to the master. O Prophet of Allah, I have committed this serious sin. O Prophet of Allah, please ask Allah to forgive me. Allah sent a nice verse. وَلُوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاوُكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُ اللَّهُ تَوَابُ الرَّحِيمًا. Allah is saying, simply put, those people that have wronged themselves, committed sin, when they come to you, Ya Nabi, seeking Allah's forgiveness, and you too ask Allah for forgiveness in their favor, they will find Allah most forgiving, most merciful. Open the book, so hadith, you will find the master making maghfirat ki dua for all those that came. Now the big question. He's passed away. There he lies in the Mubarak Roza. Teeth? Alright. Now, we are sinners. We're standing by him there. We're going to confess our sins by him. Don't you want Allah to forgive us? Yes? So the question is, can we employ this particular method which the Sahaba employed at their time? Do we have scope for that?
So the answer comes in Ma'ariful Quran, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, commenting on the same ayat. He says the rule applies even today. And he gives us evidence. He gives us evidence because nothing in Islam is without evidence. Evidence is, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, exactly 3 days after the master was buried, not passed away, after he was buried, a Bedouin entered the masjid and he was crying. He was in a state of hysteria. What was he crying about? Not losing some material thing. He must have committed some sin. And he was so upset with himself. And definitely that man was a Sahabi. He had done some wrong which Allah knows and he knows. And he was so upset. And as he entered the mosque, he calls out, Ya Rasulullah, Allah mentions about you in the Quran like this. Those who have done wrong, when they come to you seeking Allah's forgiveness and you pray on their behalf, they will find Allah most forgiving, most merciful. O Prophet of Allah, I have done wrong. I want Allah to forgive me. I have now come to you to ask you to ask Allah to forgive me. And he cried, he said these words, and Ali radiallahu ta'ala is a witness. He said the man was so hysterically collapsed. The moment he collapsed, from the Mubarak Roza, the voice was heard, Allah has given him forgiveness. So from here our ulama states, okay, this rule applies even today because we believe in his Hayatun Nabi. Now please, don't do what ignorant people do. Don't ask him for material things. Ya Nabi, I'm very poor, make me rich. No, no, that's not the object. Here you ask him for his intercession Qiyamah Day. Here you ask him, O Prophet of Allah, you are so close to Allah. Quran mentions about you, O Prophet of Allah, ask Allah to grant you for you. These are the things that we ask for. And don't forget the kalama issue, right? So whenever you get the chance, you're going to get there. As far as our sisters are concerned, usually at Ishraq time is the time for about 3 hours or so when they allow the privilege to get in the roza to make the salam and also Ba'da Zuhr. Now, we don't have a problem with the men, but the sisters have a major problem. Alhamdulillah, we find our sisters are generally well disciplined, but we find people from other areas, totally uncultured, ignorant, don't know how to behave, and some weird things go on, they rush, they scream, you stay far. You'd rather be physically far and spiritually close than physically close and by some misdemeanor, you are chucked out. And don't push. There's some heavy drama goes on that we hear about the women. You learn to exercise patience, adab. Think that I'm the only one here. If there's a crowd there, now man, I will stay. Now remember, you got about 3 hours, my sisters. So slowly and surely, you will get there. But don't forget, I'd rather be far physically and spiritually close than by forcing my way and rubbing shoulders and giving elbowing other people and what have you, then I'll be far. So this factor you keep in mind. Okay, so this basically, my dear friends, was our entry into Madinah Munawwara, into the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and our salam. And like I said before, whenever you get the chance, you will go there. You must usually go, my dear brothers, in the in-between salah time. After salah, everybody is coming out and they're making salam. You won't be happy with that salam. You know, what I'm saying is, I'm not very happy with, you know, walking salam bypass. I want you to go there and enjoy that moment. So go there in the in-between time. And don't occupy that one spot, because you're not the only one. You had your fill, move back. Give others a chance as well. Inshallah, you will also benefit in that. Okay. I think that covers this particular aspect. It's one very important thing. Quickly. See, I'm going to teach you a method of dua here now. One simple method of dua, which inshallah, based on Quran and based on Sunnah, we are guaranteed acceptance of the dua. Inshallah. Now listen very carefully. Allah give you tawfiq, think of A.R. Khande and do the following. Make 2 rakat namaz, qazai hajat, etc. Pick up your hand. Now follow very carefully. Ya Allah, your Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, between my house and my mimbar is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. Ya Allah, so that means this is Jannah. Ya Allah, which means again now, I am in Jannah. Thik? I'm teaching motivation, right? One. Two, Ya Allah, you said in Quran, that those who are in Jannah, I will give them whatever they wish for. Ya Allah, again you go back. Your Nabi said, this is Jannah. I am now in Jannah. Your Quran said, those who are in Jannah, you will give them whatever they wish for. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِ أَنفُسُكُمْ Ya Allah, well since I am in Jannah now, and you made a promise there, then fulfill my wish, and put forward your wish. Muni sahab, kitne bhari baat hai. Behtareen baat hai. And have this thing in your heart, inshallah. And what do you ask for? Again, my friends, forget the material. Because innama amwalukum wa auladukum fitna. I don't want to go in that bayan. Ask for things of spiritual value, significance, iman ki salamati, removal of difficulties, etc. And if you ask for material, we can ask. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. You can ask. But say, Ya Allah, the material that you're going to give me, let it not be a trial for me. Let it not be something that may be destructive to my iman and amal, etc. Very simple. Can you remember that, my dear friend? Okay, Jazakallah. We're going to conclude now. Moana will take over. In Madina Munawwara, we got a few sites that are of great value and significance. Looking at very simply, number one is Masjid al-Quba. Number two is Jannatul Baqi, or the other way around. Jannatul Baqi first, I think. Forget the order, right? Baqi, right there. Masjid al-Quba. Masjid al-Qiblatain, Jabal al-Uhud, and a few other areas. Let's go to Baqi. Baqi is right there across. When you get to Baqi, you must stand there and say, Ya Allah, no doubt you showered your great favor on these people. Ya Allah, how I wish you also bless my body with the Mubarak Mitti of Jannatul Baqi. How's that? May Allah give us that. Moana Patel sits here every Thursday. Every Thursday, take one sabak from him. His regular dua, Ya Allah, when the time of my mouth comes, take me to Madina Munawwara. Let me be standing in front of your beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let me be saying, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. And let that moment be the time for the removal of my soul from my body. May Allah bless him with that. Amen. And may Allah bless us with that. Amen. What a thing, my friends. to have moth in the front there. Monarch, 1993, that's exactly 10 years ago. I'm sitting Juma time in the back. In the aircon section in the back. And there was one wave, Ghulam. One wave. You know what's a wave? One wave was coming from the front. Inna lillahi wa inna raji'un now. We picked it up. And then it floated away. Inna lillahi. Every stop was making inna lillahi. It was going. What happened? And we learned afterwards. Okay, just when the inna lillahi started, it was before the khutbah. At that moment, right by the rosa, someone passed away. And the ripple from there, the wave came, and we joined in that. You know what went through the heart? Kaash ke hum wahan hote.
Allah.
What a great namat, my friends. Make dua for that. And also do like what Moana does as well. He says, ke, Ya Allah, if our moth is not destined in Madina Munawwara, no matter where it takes place, Ya Allah, you make sure at that time I am engaged in obedience to you and not in a place that's unbecoming of a Muslim. Make that kind of dua. Make that kind of dua also for your family, for your children, etc. Masjid al-Quba, Nabi's practice to go on Saturday. There are virtues for that, right? Go there if you can. Every day I will suggest. Okay. Masjid al-Qiblatain, in Masjid al-Quba, the sabak day is, this was the first masjid, maybe not the building now, but this was a site where our master with his Mubarak hand laid the foundation and put up the walls of the very first masjid, which Quran called Masjid-e-Taqwa. And the master used to come here every day, therefore I am here. Masjid-e-Qiblatain is the place where the Qibla changed. The sabak, when you go there, you must learn sabak. In Qiblatain, the simple sabak will be, okay, when Allah's command came to the master in the salah to change direction from Masjid al-Aqsa to Masjid al-Haram, what did he do? He was in the namaz. He didn't wait to complete the namaz. Immediately he turned around in response to Allah's command. فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطَرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ To take sabak from there. And make dua that, Ya Allah, your beloved taught us a sabak here. When we hear your command, we must respond. Allah, give us topic from now till we die to be like that. Then you got Jabal Uhud. Allah Nabi used to say, هَذَا جَبَلٌ يُحِبُّنَا وَنُحِبُّهُ O people, this is Uhud mountain. The mountain loves us and we love it. Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Damat Barakatum, taught a nice sabak. This I learned from Mawana Patel himself. Damat Barakatum. He says when Hazrat was standing there at Jabal Uhud, he had a smile on his face and he gazed at the mountain. They didn't know what was happening. After when they asked him, he said, no, you see this hadith here. So I'm telling the mountain, hey Uhud, my Nabi loved you. You loved him. Because my Nabi loved you, therefore I'm also having love for you. So these are some very basic things that we need to do in Madinah Munawwara. Last but not least, my friends, throughout your stay in Madinah Munawwara, Allah give us a topic, be at your best behavior. Avoid any kind of sin. And I think the most common sin in any place, whether here or there, is the sin of the eye. Sin of the eye, you will see all kinds of people, right? Women will see men will see women. Drop the gaze. If shaitan attacks you, use my once more simple teaching. If the gaze falls, condition the mind, that is my mother, and that's my sister, and that's my daughter. I'm not saying go on looking, I'm not saying that. Straight away block shaitan. That's my mother, that's my daughter, that's my sister. Khalas. And very important as well, conduct yourself very well with the people of Madinah Munawwara. Why the Master says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who keep my neighbors happy, those who please my neighbors are pleasing me, those who cause harm to my neighbors are giving me taklif. And I'll advise you, all of you, take a copy of Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullahi Ta'ala's book, Virtues of Hajj. Study this. This must be a Bible. Even about the Hajj. This will inshallah pep you up, will build in you the spirit and the jazbah how to conduct yourself. Okay, I'll have to take my seat now. And Moana Pandor is here. Since I spoke on Madinah Munawwara, to inshallah, he will give us a kalam on Madinah Munawwara. Okay, bye. After khair, up. So now, yeah. In fact, I called Moana especially last night to come and give us one kalam. And raise our spirits, inshallah. And after this one, all go to
him. عجب دل ربا ہے مدینے کا عالم بہت خوشنما ہے مدینے کا عالم عجب دل ربا ہے مدینے کا عالم بہت خوشنما ہے مدینے کا عالم مدینے کا ہر ذرہ جنت بداما برا پرفضا ہے مدینے کا عالم پہنچتی ہے سب کے کلیجوں کو تندک وہ راحت فضا ہے مدینے کا عالم. پہنچتی ہے سب کے کلیجوں کو ٹھنڈک, وہ راحت فضا ہے مدینے کا عالم. مدینے کی گلیاں معطر معطر, بڑا دل کشا ہے مدینے کا عالم. مہک بینی بینی ہوا ٹھنڈی ٹھنڈی, عجب جا فضا ہے مدینے کا عالم. مہک بینی بینی ہوا ٹھنڈی ٹھنڈی, عجب جا فضا ہے مدینے کا عالم. مناظر ہیں پیشے نظر ایسے دلکش, مجھے با گیا ہے مدینے کا عالم. جو بیمار آئے تو ہو جائے اچھا, وہ دارو شفا ہے مدینے کا عالم. جو بیمار آئے تو ہو جائے اچھا, وہ دارو شفا ہے مدینے کا عالم. اسے آب کوثر کی کیا آرزو ہو, جسے مل گیا ہے مدینے کا عالم. نگاہوں سے حجاج ہوشیار رہنا, ذرا دیکھنا ہے مدینے کا عالم. نگاہوں سے حجاج ہوشیار رہنا, ذرا دیکھنا ہے مدینے کا عالم. حنیف اپنی آنکھیں ہوئی آج روشن, ضیا ہی ضیا ہے مدینے کا عالم. حنیف اپنی آنکھیں ہوئی آج روشن, ضیا ہی ضیا ہے مدینے کا عالم. عجب دل ربا ہے مدینے کا عالم, بہت خوش نما ہے مدینے کا عالم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم, اما بعد, اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ان اول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين, صدق الله العظيم. Beloved respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters, prospective hujjaj ikram, this is such an act that we intend to perform, the act of Hajj, this amal of Hajj, which is only farz once in a person's lifetime. And such an act that We have to be so particular that we do it the proper way. And such an act, that it is so important that we know why we are doing it. What I mean here, every amal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a maqsad. As Allah ta'ala says, for example, concerning salah, أَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. The maqsad of salah is to become mindful of Allah ta'ala. أَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَةَ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. That through salah, you will be able to save yourself from shameless acts and from sin. That is the maqsad of salah. Maqsad of fasting, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. We have made farz upon you fasting as we have done for those before you, so that you can get the quality of taqwa. The object of zakat is to cleanse your wealth. The object of zakat is to take out the love of the dunya from your heart. Now what is the purpose that Allah has ordained this for us? Hajj. Why? Why do we make Hajj? What does Allah want you to gain through Hajj? Subhanallah. Marhum Bhai Padi Rahmatullah Alayh on one occasion held the hand of one Maulana and asked him, Hazrat, one of our South African young ulama asked him, Mauli Sahib, Bhai Padi asked him, what intention do you look at the Kaabatullah with? With what intention do you look at the Baytullah with? So Mauli Sahib said, well, the Hadith Sharif, it comes, when a person makes tawaf around the Baytullah, 60 rahmah comes upon him. When he performs tawaf, when he makes salah, 40 rahmah. Looking at the Baytullah, 20 rahmah, 20 mercies descend upon you. Bhai Pala said, gee, that is in his place. But Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, Inna awwala baytin wudi'a linnas lalladhi bi bakkata mubaraka wa hudan lil alameen. Surely, the first house placed on the earth for mankind to worship Allah Ta'ala is the house in Makkah, which is a house of barakat and hidayat for entire mankind. So look at this house and make this niyyah that, Ya Allah, I am a talib. I am a seeker of that hidayat and that barakat. That I have left my home and I have come here with the niyat of getting hidayat. I have left my home and I have come here to get barakat. This is number one priority. If a person has his cup turned upside down and expects to get water, he will not get water in that cup. If he turns it the right way, he will get it. So we must have that niyyah, that I have come here to get that. For that we have to understand what is the meaning of hidayat. We have to understand what is the meaning of barakat. What is this hidayat? That which we have been asking from the time we have basically started our salah, from the time we had learned Surah Al-Fatiha, we have been told, we have been asking Allah Ta'ala the very, very, very first dua in the Quran Kareem. Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqim. Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqim. Ya Allah, guide us, give us hidayat on the straight path. Guide us, give us hidayat. Now what is this hidayah? What is the reward for this hidayah? It's tremendous. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدَمِّ الرَّبِّ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, though that have been guided, they are the most successful ones. Hidayat, as ulama have explained, it is that nur that Allah will put in the person's heart, A, whereby he will be able to differentiate between right and wrong, B, it will be that spirit and that nur that will incline him towards goodness, towards becoming an obedient servant of Allah Ta'ala. So we must go with that niyyah that I want to change my life, that I want to get this hidayat. One friend of mine told me, he says, when I looked at the Baytullah, he had that niyyah. He said, when I went to the Baytullah, he wasn't on salah. He said, Ya Allah, from today on, you bring me onto 5 times salah. He said, ever since that day, Allah fazal and tawfiq, that from that day, he had never ever given up salah. That man went with the talab of hidayat, Allah gave him that hidayah. So all of us that are seated here must have that firm niyyah. That I've come here to get hidayat. And one of the signs that a person has got hidayat, as it is narrated in the hadith, that he will become soft in his nature when he comes back from Hajj. His mizaj will become that of softness, forgiving, merciful, kind, loving, foregoing, forgiving. So let us see, this is what I have to look towards, those that are intending to go for Hajj, how I can get that. So keep our objective right. That is when it comes towards hidayat. As for barakat, beloved elders and brothers, to understand barakat, you must just read a few incidents that is mentioned, as Hazrat Maulana has mentioned, in the section of Anjus book Fazail al-Hajj, of how people made the azmat of the Baytullah, how they understood the value of the Baytullah, that some of them, that in 24 hours, how many tawafs they had made. 70, 80 tawafs for the day. And with what sacrifice they went there to make this. Because they knew the barakat of this Mubarak place. Because directly above the Baytullah is Baytul Ma'mur. Baytul Ma'mur is that on the first skies where the Malaika make their tawaf. And they say, an angel that gets a chance to make tawaf once will never get a chance again. And directly below that, we are making tawaf. Allah's tajalli is descending there. To mark you an example, Bhai Pari Rahmatullah Ali once noticed that I was making tilawat the Quran after Fajr in the covered section. He says, Maulana Sahib, come closer to the Baytullah because Allah's tajalli is there, descending there. The closer you are, the more you'll get the tajalli and the barakat of Allah. So, jitne kareeb ho, itne zyada fayda hai. So, we understand that we must have that talab to get that barakat. On one occasion, he saw me on the mataf, I was performing my salah on a musalla. He tells me, Maulana Sahib, you know, my desire is that I must make sajda on this park zameen, on this actual mataf, on the actual marble. And while I'm making sajda on this mataf, Allah must take my ruh away, must take my soul away. Meaning to show that this zameen, this place is so blessed. Why make it on the musalla? Make it on the actual marble. This is the desire for the barakat. Then he would give an example. He would say, in South Africa, you get all your cold drinks. You get all your cold drinks in South Africa, but you won't get Zamzam. So while you are there, don't drink all the cold drinks. He says, drink the Zamzam water. That is the barakat. I met a person, a new Muslim, who had so much yaqeen in the words of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Zamzam lima shuribala. That Zamzam, for whatever need you drink it, Allah will give you the asrat and the effect of it. He said, I had a sickness and I couldn't get cured. I tried every medication. When I heard this hadith, I started drinking Zamzam with this niyat, Allah Ta'ala had cured me of that sickness. Yaqeen. And barakat, really, beloved brothers. Hazrat Maulana will know, you meet Engineer Saab over there, one of the pious people over there, Abdul Mannan Saab, that lives there in Makkah al-Mukarramah, And behind the Hatim his place is always over there. So one day we are asking him about the Baytullah, really, and about the Zamzam and the best place, and what it is. So he's just giving us a few things, which may not, none of us may not know, what a barakat water this is. He says, those workers over there, just to increase the iman, and to see the kudrat of Allah Ta'ala, he says at time they throw other water in the well of the Zamzam. And he says, kudratan naturally, Maulana, that water throws it out. What water this is? And he says, the more the people drink, the more the pressure comes. That we fear that when there is such pressure coming, when more people are drinking, that we fear that those pipes will bust. So we can imagine what barakat this water is. He says, underneath it like a sea. From Mala the water is coming with such pressure, like 2-3 huge oceans that are flowing down. Allah has given us that water. The more we drink it, they say a sign of a believer, he loves that water and he drinks it in abundance. So we have come for that barakat. That's just one of the millions of barakat that Allah has descended on this place here. Our pious elders, when they make tawaf, they say that Baytullah is that place was first built, according to some riwayat, in the time of Adam alayhi salam, then rebuilt in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. It is said that every Nabi had made tawaf of the Baytullah. Even the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam had made tawaf of the Baytullah. In fact, they say where that blue carpet that is there in Makkah Mukarramah, that is where the Ark had started off its tawaf. In the covered section. So you can imagine, such a place. Our pious elders used to say, they used to make dua, they says, Ya Allah, whatever duas the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the awliya had made of ya, and you accepted, accept those duas on our behalf while they are making the tawaf. And we learn this dua, when we start our tawaf, Allahumma imanam bik, wa tasdeeqam bi kitabik, wa fa'am bi ahdik, wa tiba'a sunnata habibika sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're actually taking a promise here with Allah Ta'ala. We are making a pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are making this pledge immediately after kissing the Hajri Aswad. Or we're making istilan, that means we face towards the Hajri Aswad and we make our takbir there. At this point, in fact, in one narration, the actual method of tawaf, all that, inshallah, Hazrat Maulana will give you the full detail. I'm just giving the significance and the importance of Hajj, the importance of Baytullah. Inshallah, that, the rest of inshallah, on that section, Maulana will cover with you. But just important points here on the significance and the azmat that must be in our hearts. It is mentioned that the Hajri Aswad is one stone that will benefit and harm. Yet Umar radiallahu anhu said that, you know, this stone cannot benefit and cannot harm. Will not benefit and harm. But because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissed you, I'm kissing you. But Ali radiallahu anhu said, no, this stone will benefit and harm. In this case that it will speak in favor of the person or against the person on the day of Qiyamah. It is narrated that when a person comes there to the Hajr al-Aswad, and in his heart is the desire to change his life, to become a good, pious Muslim, and intention of giving up all sin and rectifying his life, then that is stamped and sealed on his heart. From there on, inshallah, he'll be a better Muslim. That is why we say, Allah, immediately after that we start the tawaf, we say, Allahumma imanam bik, oh Allah, I bring iman upon you. Wa tasdeeqam bi kitabik. It's like we are making a fresh pledge with Allah Ta'ala. And I've acknowledged your kitab, I've accepted your kitab, that I will follow your kitab, the Quran al-Kareem. وَفَعَمْ بِأَهْدِكَ. And that I will fulfill my promise to you. What is the promise you made with Allah Ta'ala? Gee, Hazrat Maulana may have taught many of those that were in Orient. We all had made a promise with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Sometimes we forget about it. Allah, very simple, but it's very, we haven't done it with seriousness. Amantu billahi kama huwa bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi wa qabiltu jami'a ahkami. We had made a promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the time we were small. Allah ta'ala make us realize what we said at this age if we hadn't made it at that time. We are saying to Allah ta'ala, O Allah, I believe in you with all your names and qualities. Wa qabiltu jami'a ahkami. And I have accepted all your commands. Wa qabiltu jami'a. I have said that. Everybody, all of us recited that. This is now where you are saying that, Ya Allah, and I will inshallah fulfill that pledge. So we must understand that we've come for hidayat, we must understand that we have to make this effort. It's not just a rasam, a custom, or a riwaj, or a tradition that I've come, I've filled my hajj, I put a feather in my cap, I made my hajj, ab to ho gaya, main to haji ban gaya. Haji has sifat in him. The sign of a person who's accepted the hajj is that his life is changed. Because Allah is going to give you so much. And the last part was ittiba sunnat habibika sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you're promising that from now on I will follow the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let us understand that fact. Because respected elders and brothers, the ajr of a haji is very great. If you make a proper hajj, look at the promises that Allah will give. He will return home like a newborn baby. No reward for a haji who makes a proper hajj, but jannat. He will intercede for 400 people of his family who are destined for jahannam. He'll take them to jannat. And let us ponder over this fact, that if you are going to be an interceder, you will have to have the qualities that you are beloved in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, that you will be then given that position, you can intercede for those that are destined for Jahannam, you'll take them to Jannat. And that a person who makes a Hajj properly, for whomsoever he will make dua and maghfirah, that person will be forgiven. That is why it is said, when a Haji returns from Hajj, go and meet him, shake hands with him and say, make dua for me, your duas are accepted. Make dua for my maghfirah. So understand here. Now just imagine again. A person makes hajj, he is completely forgiven. He'll go back home like a newborn baby. A. Number two, there is no reward for him but jannat. Number three, is that he'll intercede for 400 people that are destined for jahannam, he'll take them to jannat. And number four, whomsoever he'll make dua and maghfirat for, that person is forgiven. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ask the haji to make dua for your forgiveness, because he is forgiven. So to get that high status, to get that high position, we will have to have those qualities. A person who is working as an ambassador of a certain country, he is given a very big salary. He is given a lot of perks. He is given a lot of things. Why? He's got a great responsibility that he has to fulfill. So we must understand that we are going for a great, great, great mission. Therefore we must have this in us. We want to work towards it. And if a person has the desire, inshallah, Allah's madad, Allah's assistance is in him. Makkatul Mukarramah is that place where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. Baytullah is that such blessed place that we must understand and imagine that subhanallah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was carried by his grandfather Abdul Muttalib and made tawaf. Abdul Muttalib took him and made tawaf of him around the Baytullah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to relax in the Hatim. This is that place. When we look at the Hajra Aswad, we must imagine, put this picture in front of us, that this very stone was held by my beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and placed over there to avoid a great battle that was about to take place between the Qurayshi tribes. He stopped them and he was the one that picked it up with his Mubarak hands and placed it. He put that in front of you. When this comes into us, then the whole azmat of the Mubarak place changes. When a person is making tawaf between Safa and Marwa, or making his sa'i between Safa and Marwa, it is not just running between two hills. But we must keep this significance in our mind, that at Safa is that place when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood and invited entire mankind towards Allah Ta'ala on Mount Safa. And I am standing on that very same place when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood and invited mankind. I must also have the desire that I want to serve Islam and I want to invite mankind towards Allah Ta'ala. When I stand on Mount Safa, I must understand and imagine that before Qiyamah, from this very same mountain, Dabbatul Ard will come out. That beast before Qiyamah will come out. And that beast will talk to the people. It will have the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam and the staff of Musa alayhi salam. And those that are non-believers at that time, it will stamp on their foreheads that they are kafirs. Keeping that in mind, plead to Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, you keep my iman salamat and safe. Make me die with iman and save me from these great trials that are to come before Qiyamah.
Amen.
Understand at this place that Safa du'as are accepted. Marwa du'as are accepted. It is mentioned of Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. His time between Safa and Marwa would take 4 hours. Not that, you know, I just finished my seven Sa'i Safa Marwa, and I, mashallah, I finished in half an hour, I'm over, I shaved my hair, I'm out of it. But they understood that, yeah, du'as are accepted. At Safa, du'as are accepted. At Marwa, du'as are accepted. Between the green light, the du'as are accepted. Imagine and put this picture in front of you. Ya Allah, what Qurbani Hazrat Hajra alayhi salam must have went through. That is why he says, when you're running between the green lights, you should look towards the Baytullah. And imagine and envisage. The mothers will understand this picture more better. That there her child is about to pass away. Ismail alayhi salam, dying of thirst and hunger. What must be running through this mother's heart? Where do I seek help from? If you put that picture in front of you, how she had made that qurbani, then this dua must come out of our hearts. Ya Allah, I'm making the ittiba and I'm following this maqbool servant of yours. Like how you had accepted her and her progeny, you accept me and my progeny, you make them beloved and you make them maqbool and accepted in your eyes, like how you had made them. Then Safa Marwa becomes much, much, much more significant, beloved. So, this important thing is the azmat of this place, the intention of hidayat, keeping the history of this place. As I said to you, if you keep the fact that Rasulullah ﷺ walked of here, even when you're making tawaf, Nabi ﷺ walked here, the Anbiya walked of here, the maqbool servants of Allah walked here, I'm walking on the very, very same place. Wow. When this azmat is in our hearts, inshallah, everything becomes different. Few years ago, standing in front of the Baytullah, this surah flashed to my heart. Where Allah Ta'ala says, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعِ وَآمَنُهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفِ. Allah Ta'ala speaks about His favors upon the Quraysh, where He made it easy for them to travel in summer and winter. And then Allah Ta'ala says, commanding them, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Worship the Rabb of this house, who will give you peace from your worries, and will give you provisions from your hunger. After reciting this, this thought came in my heart. I'm mentioning this so we can take a lesson, not to show I'm of any position. I went to the Baytullah, and I held the Baytullah. I held the ghilaf, and I made this dua to Allah, that Ya Allah, you have commanded us that we only worship you. Ya Allah, I say you, Ya Allah, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Ya Allah, none do we worship but you, none do we seek help from but you. While I am making dua like this, The person next to me is also holding the ghilaf and also holding the curtain of the Kaaba and is making dua and saying, La na'budu illa iyyak, La na'budu illa iyyak, none do we worship Ya Allah but you. I said, Ya Allah, you have told us to do this and you have mentioned that if I worship you, you will give me peace from my worries. Ya Allah, you give me peace from my worries. And you have told Ya Allah that you will provide from the person's hunger. So Ya Allah, you provide for me. And I can tell you, beloved brothers, you will do it, you will see the atharat and the effects of it. How much more meaningful. So with this kind of feeling, with this kind of spirit, inshallah, when we will make our hajj, inshallah, it will be much, much more meaningful. Before inshallah, Hazrat Maulana will continue in the third part. Hazrat Maulana, inshallah, will give us some virtue, inshallah, in this naat about Baytullah.
Meri nazron mein tum ho bade muhtaram Ya jibal al-haram, ya jibal al-haram Ye dua-e haram lazzat-e multazam ho ata sab ko ye ni'mat-e mughtanam Ya jibal al-haram, ya jibal al-haram Ya jibal al-haram, ya jibal al-haram Ae khuda hai faqat aap ka ye karam Kar rahe sab tawaf-e-haram Ae khuda hai faqat aap ka ye karam kar rahe hain jo hum sab tawaf-e-haram aa gaya samne rooda-e tarum jiski ziyarat ko ya rab tarasate the hum ya jibal al haram ya jibal al haram ya jibal al haram ya jibal al haram rahmat-e do jahan ka hai faiz-e-atam jinke sadqe mein muslim o momin hai hum rahmat-e do jahan ka hai faiz-e-atam jinke sadqe mein muslim o momin hai hum aap hi ke sharaf se ye rutba mila ummat-e-muslima hai jo khairul umam Ya jibal al-haram, ya jibal al-haram Ya jibal al-haram, ya jibal al-haram Hey salatin alam bi ihram mein ban ke hazir gada-e-haram hai salatin alam bi بن کے حاضر ہوئے ہیں گدائے حرم. میرے مالک یہ اختر کی سن لے دعا, میرے مالک یہ اختر کی سن لے دعا, ہو مقدر میں ہر سال دیدے حرم.
آمین.
ہو مقدر میں ہر سال دیدے حرم, میری نظروں میں تم ہو بڑے محترم. یا جبال الحرم یا جبال الحرم یا جبال الحرم یا جبال الحرم.
بہت اچھے. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ رب العالمین, الرحمن الرحیم, مالک یوم الدین, والصلاۃ والسلام علی اشرف المرسلین سیدنا محمد وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین. فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. ان اللہ وملائکته یصلون علی النبی یا ایها الذین آمنوا صلوا علیہ وسلموا تسلیما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. وقال تعالى وأتموا الحج والعمرة لله. صدق الله العظيم. My dear friends, we are in Madinah Munawwara. We have completed our 10 days or 8 days, whatever Allah wills. And as the days come close for you to leave Madinah, I can promise you, many a heart will bleed as you prepare to leave Madinah Munawwara. That's a guarantee. But we have an obligation to do. We came to perform Hajj. Thus we have to leave now Madina Munawwara, that Mubarak land where lies Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and proceed to fulfill the fifth pillar of Islam, which we call Hajj. Take. To understand Hajj, very, very simple, I won't go in detail. From the teachings of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find there are three kinds of Hajj. One is called Qiran, one is called tamattu, and one is called ifrad. Simple meaning. Qiran Hajj means a person goes from here, goes to the miqat where you tie your ihram. He says his labbaik for double ibadat. Umrah and Hajj combined together. He wears one ihram, remains the ihram. He comes to Madinah Munawwara, he performs the Umrah. He comes to Makkah Mu'azzama, Jazakallah for that. He comes to Makkah Mu'azzama, he performs the Umrah, and unlike others who come out of the Haram, he remains in the Haram. 8th of Zilijjah, like all the others, go to Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, he goes. When he completes the rites of Umrah after stoning the Satan and making Qurbani, etc., then he shaves the head, now he comes out of the Haram. That's Qiran, basically put. The other one is called Tamattu. Tamattu simply means you put on your ihram at the miqat, comes to Madinah Munawwara, performs the Umrah, Tawaf, Safa, Sa'i, Khalas, attend to your hair, you're out of ihram. You are now free to do as you would love to do with freedom. All ihram restrictions are now gone. Wait for 8th of Zilhijjah, put on ihram again, and you go for Hajj. So Umrah that side, break, and Hajj this side, called tamattu. Tamattu simply means to benefit between two ibadat. Ifrad, we call that the poor man's hajj. He comes straight to Makkah Mu'azzama 1 or 2 days before the hajj. Comes to Makkah, makes tawaf of Baytullah, not Umrah. Just makes tawaf of Baytullah and then goes with the haji for the 5 days and come back. That's basically it. South Africans, with Allah's fazl, Allah gave them tawfiq to perform what is called hajj tamattu. Tamattu, don't forget, means 2 ihram, 2 ibadat. 1 for Umrah, 1 for Hajj, and a break in between. Theek hai? Alright. Second point to understand, Allah Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew a mental picture, a mental map. Those coming from the north would put ihram at point X. Those who come from the south, point Y. Those who come from the east, that's the miqat. And those who come from the west, that's the miqat, and so on. What does miqat mean? Miqat simply, now you've got the picture, you've got 4 points or five points, right? Okay. Anybody who wishes to get to Makkah, follow very carefully. Makkah is your target now. No matter what intention you got, but you're going to Makkah Muazzama. Maybe you're going there to get married, my Muhammad Parak, inshallah. Maybe Mr. Mullah is going to buy ghosts for his Buddha shop. Maybe somebody else has got some interview with King Fahad, maybe. Whatever your objective, but your destination is what? Makkah Muazzama. No matter what your objective, it is the command of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if Makkah is your target, your destination, once you come to this borderline, you cannot pass that borderline until and unless you adorn the ihram. I'll explain that just now. And you come to Makkah Mu'azzama and pay homage to my house first. And when you finish with that, then you go about your business. Are you with me? Very simple. What is ihram again? Ihram means to make haram. What was halal before will now be temporary haram for you. Take namaz. Allahu Akbar, we start the salah after niyat. When you say Allahu Akbar, we call this Allahu Akbar takbir tahreema. All the others Allahu Akbar is called takbir. The moment you say Allahu Akbar for the salah, many halal actions that you could do before are now suddenly haram as long as you in the act of salah. Am I right? You can't talk, you can't look around, you can't do this, you can't do that, until you're out of the salah. Precisely in the same manner. When you enter into ihram, in the namaz you say Allahu Akbar. For the ihram you say Labbaik Allahumma, Labbaik, the complete version. You are now in ihram, meaning many halal actions are now haram until you complete the rites of the Umrah or the rites of the Hajj. Simple, basic halal actions are now haram. Suspended completely. If you indulge in some of those so-called haram acts, now you'll have to either pay a fine, depending on the nature of the incident, or you may get away by giving some sadaqah or charity. But what I want us to understand, once we are in ihram, many actions are now haram. One must not deliberately violate the rules of ihram. Because if you do so, you at the end of the Umrah or Hajj, you are spoiling that special devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in all probability, God forbid, Allah may reject that ibadat of yours. And also understand, very, very important, Moana will elaborate on that later on. Hajj, like he said, is an action farz once in the lifetime. If you involve yourself or engage in any shortcoming or unbecoming action in the Umrah or the Hajj, qasam wallah, you can go back 1,000 times to make Hajj again and again and again,
you will never be able to remove those creases and those dents and those cracks that you caused in that first Hajj. Thus, make up your mind from now and beg Allah for help. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadati. Oh Allah, I'm asking your help to remember you in the best of manner. I'm asking you to fulfill this act of ibadah in the best of manner. And what is the best of manner? The best of manner is only one manner. And that is that method, that procedure that was adopted by Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he was preparing for his first and last Hajj, he made intizam for spreading or transmitting the information, I am leaving for Hajj this year. This is my first Hajj, could be my last. Try and meet me in Medina Munawwara if you can. Come and see from the beginning how it's done. Come and see with your eyes. And remain with me until the end. Those who could make it, made it. Are you with me? And with great pain he showed them how it was done. Of course there was some errors on the part of certain Sahaba. No fault of this. But Allah Nabi is very kind. Allah is also very, very kind. Their actions, some minor things here and there, sometimes some sequence, what have you, it was overlooked. Because of the difficulty in transmitting every activity to all of them. So there was some minor thing. But we on our part, we are now living in the hopefully prepared to a certain degree. Besides sitting here and listening to this discussion, right, get hold of the suitable book. There are some out there. Okay, one is mine, I'm not promoting mine, but there is one of mine there. Moana, Mama Said Banu's one. Okay, anyway, these two I highly recommend, right? Look at that, inshallah, thumma inshallah. You follow that procedure, you can be assured, my Hajj Allah will accept. Provided you don't do some damages here. Okay? Okay. So we are now back, let's go back to Madina Munawwara. We are told tomorrow you are leaving. Certain time, you must be ready. Also very important. When they tell you, Mr. Mullah, 11 o'clock the bus will be here, you'll be 8, and make sure your bags are done 8 o'clock, you'll be done 8 o'clock, but the bus will come 6 o'clock in the evening. My friends, this is one act of ibadat where Allah puts you to the real test. He will put you through such corners and such delays and such taklif. You came here out of my love. And Allah jisse muhabbat karta hai, Allah usse taklif deta hai. Allah give you taklif for one reason. Are you truly devoted to me? That come what may in your way, you will push that aside and you will give your attention to me. You know in that verse regarding ihram and hajj, Allah said, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. Those who adorn the ihram for hajj, beware, fala rafath, avoid indecency. Indecency of the tongue, of the eye, of the hand, avoid it. Wala fusuq, and beware of any disobedience to me. Wala jidal, and beware, be warned, keep away from any fighting. I ask you one simple question. Are these three things, indecency, fighting, disobedience to Allah, only haram in Hajj or outside Hajj as well? All the time. Yeah, Allah is saying, be more conscious, be more aware. Because from the time you put the ihram, until the end of your ihram, you are 100% minute for minute, second for second in my devotion. Take the simple example of roza itself. When you said, Allahumma asumu in the morning, I'm keeping roza for you, and Allahumma lakasamtu in the evening, that whole period of 12, 15, 16 hours you are in Allah's devotion, which Musliman will dare do anything wrong in the halat of roza, when he knows if I do, I damage my entire roza. So Allah is saying, you do any wrong in the hajj, you damage your entire hajj, to beware. So it means it's haram all the time. But one beautiful thing about that is, in that 5 days or the other hours that you are going to be in ihram, Allah is helping you to develop the discipline of being wary afterwards. Yaad rakhna. When lawful things Allah made haram on you in ihram, then what about the unlawful things? Double. Okay, so we now we're leaving with a very, very heavy heart. We will go to the roza for the fast for the last time. You will make salah there of thanks to Allah for allowing you the opportunity to be here. At the same time, you must say, Ya Allah, definitely, there must have been definitely some act of misdemeanor on my part, Allah make maaf. When you go by the master, you must tell him as well, Ke, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I tried my best, and be honest, eh? Be honest. You're not going to tell him that I tried my best when you didn't. Honesty is the key word here, my boy. If you're going to stand by the master and say, for example, Ya Nabi, Ya Rasulullah, I tried my best to behave, and if you didn't, then you're lying to him, boy. So try your best to behave. Otherwise, use another line. Okay, O Prophet of Allah, definitely I didn't behave the way I should. Definitely there was shortcoming here, O Prophet of Allah. Definitely through my misconduct, I must have definitely caused you pain. O Prophet of Allah, make maaf. And ask Allah to make maaf. Simple, khalas. Okay, that procedure for me then. Now you will prepare for your ihram. MashaAllah, we do cut our nails and all the other things that go with the right removal hair. That is done, done. You made your ghusl in your room, you put on your ihram outfit. Putting ihram outfit doesn't make you in ihram. Because we are now going to go to Bir Ali, Dhul Hulayfa, just outside Medina Munawwara. Why there? Two things. Number one, the master said the miqat of Medina people and those coming from the top is here. And the master himself put ihram same place. Many people make the mistake, they say, no man, you know what? Nabi is more sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much of sawab to make salah, you know. So I'll make my labbaik in the haram, yeah, and then I'll carry on. Allahu Akbar. If that was the case, then the master would have done his ihram labbaik here and not there. That there is place and moment of time. You must try and ensure that I must do what my master did, where sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you'll be taken to Bir Ali. If you want, shower there. If you can, and I'll advise you, do so by all means. Shower there, double shower. Okay? And then of course, with the shower, you won't go in the detail of sunnah, ghusl, but you will do that. Your wudu is now done. And you will go into the masjid. Now again, be very, very careful. All these extra namaz that I want to talk about, you must make sure it's not makruh time. Now sad to say, happens to us. By the time our bus leaves Medina Munawwara for Dhul Hulayfa, generally it is Asr time. And we torn between performing Asr namaz in the haram here and then going to Dhul Hulayfa. It's a delicate thing, my friends. Because if you perform your Asr salah here, and now when you get to Dhul Hulayfa, I'll explain just now to you, we got a problem now with the 2 rakah sunnah of the haram. So if it's a problem, try and exercise the rule, practice the rule. Say for example, we made our asr bath and the bus came, now you can't sit here and wait to go there. Make your asr namaz. And you're going to get to Dhul Hulayfa. But say suppose the other way around, you got to Dhul Hulayfa, it's not makruh time. You are now in the masjid, all of you will spread out your whole group, and the women will be in their particular section. It's not makruh time, right? Now, and it is asr time. So maybe you'll be making asr salah here. You perform your 2 rakat sunnatul ihram. It's called sunnatul ihram. Oh Allah, I'm making 2 rakat salah with the niyat of entering into ihram. Acha. In ihram, we men are not allowed to cover the head. Because when you put ihram on, you got no topi. And since it is the etiquette of salah to cover your head, so you do not have to, either you carry your topi with you, right? Or you use your top cover just to cover your head with that, and you perform your 2 rakat namaz. When you make salam, remove that. Remove your topi. Now, you will now make your niyat. Oh Allah, I am entering into ihram for umrah. Use simple English, boy. I am entering into ihram of umrah. Make it easy for me, accept it from me. That's now your niyat. You are still not in ihram yet. Now, you will say, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. The rule is, men say it loud, women soft. Not silent, soft. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika laka. Again, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika laka. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik till the end. Now three times labbaik is sunnah, one time is farz. The moment you said labbaik once, complete line, you are now in ihram. Like when you say Allahu Akbar for namaz, you are in namaz. You make the first labbaik, you are now in ihram. Are you with me? Thrice is sunnah, once is farz. Straight away, all those restrictions apply. Basically for us the men, we got more than the woman. In ihram, you can't wear underwear. So when you're going to put ihram on, you got nothing inside. No vest and no brief. No socks and no shoes. Right? Before the ihram, niyat and labbaik, sunnah to apply attar on the body, not on the clothes. When Nabiye Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his ghusl and was wearing the ihram, Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha came, she took attar in her hand and she applied attar on Huzur's body sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is Bibi Aisha's sunnah. So if your ma'am sahib is with you, tell her what Mu'ana Khan said, right? Come on, apply, but don't apply too hard, okay? Just enough say, this is Bibi Aisha's sunnah, but not on your... After that, no application. The one basic. This is common to both. Because of the perfume issue, the ulama gave a ruling, anything that is fragrant, keep far from. Be it cold drink, be it food, be it pan, be it sweets, or whatever you, be careful. Alright, okay. The third restriction for us, the men, is the shoes now. This bone here is called metatarsal. In fact, one brother came earlier on, he gave me a sample of a sandal, which he claims he wore this and climbed Jabal al-Nur. He wore this and he did the walking hajj. Now if you look at the design of this particular shoe, this is now for the men, not for the ladies, right? You can see the way the straps are. It is not covering this bone. Plus your ankle must also be exposed, so you can see the way it is designed, ankle will be also exposed. We must remain using that as long as we walk, etc., until the ihram condition is over. Kalas. In fact, when certain sahaba ikram had shoe, Allah Nabi said to him, take a blade and remove, cut that part off, so that particular bone, metatarsal and ankle is now exposed. Keep that in mind. Take it basically, right? We men and women are now combined together in this point here, when Allah Ta'ala says, Fala Rafasa. Rafasa means a lot of things. Any romantic words or words of love, etc., postpone it now for after haram. See? Very, very important, okay. Women, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed them, their normal namaz outfit, complete outfit, that is their haram. They can wear shoes, they can wear socks, they can wear jewelry, etc., etc. Right? So there's the thing. But we are got extra restriction. Now this preparation we make before saying the labbaik. We have now said the labbaik in Dhul-Hulayfa. We are now in ihram. Once in ihram, wait for the others. They'll come out in your bus and you move towards Medina, Makkah Muazzama. But also I forgot an important point. When you said your labbaik, you make some du'as. It's a moment of du'a acceptance. And there is a sunnah dua as well, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma inni as'aluka ridaaka wal jannah. Wa a'udhu bika min sakatika wal nar. Simple meaning in English. Oh Allah, I am asking for your pleasure. There is no dua more greater than this one. Oh Allah, I am asking for your pleasure. I am asking for jannah. I seek protection from your anger and I seek protection from Jahannam. This dua you can learn the English, Arabic and continue it throughout your stay there in Haramain Sharifain. Take care. And we come now to Makkah Muazzama, we sorted out the accommodation. Allah Nabi taught us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go and perform ghusl and then come to the Haram.
But mashallah, in our case, we'll be quite, you know, clean, etc. So there's no need. If you can do it, go and do it. No problem. By the way, in a haram, you can bath 1,000 times. No problem. Understand? Right? Okay. When we get to the haram sharif, yeah, jazakallah. See, I talk about fragrance, eh? So anything that fragrant, keep away. So therefore, the fragrant soap also a bit of a hassle, right? No, you can use soap, but not the fragrant soap. Now, some people say use sunlight soap and some that one, they're cheeky, by chalega, but the fragrant part. And just for a short while, my friend, very, very short while, cheek, all right. Haram Sharia Makkah is massive. Like I said before, you could be on the other end there, and Babu Salam is this side, Allahu Akbar. If you got elderly people, please don't make them walk. If your wife cannot make it by, don't say Moana Khan, say Sunnah, that door. And you get in taklif here. She'll get punched by, she's going to come for tawab by. Enter through any door that is easy. If you can make it, but don't rush. Again, the key word is don't rush. Take it easy, relax. Because you're going to be now in the Haram Sharif for at least 4 hours. Umrah will take at least 4 hours. So be ready with that. So let's take it easy, inshallah. Let's say now we came through Babu Salam. Babu Salam is the Safa Marwa. You cross the people, may Safa Marwa inside. Now again, you may sometime postpone your Isha Salah, because by the time we come is normally Isha time, to read in the Haram of Makkah. If that is the case, fine, alhamdulillah. Enter, keep your gaze lowered, they tell us, because of a very important reason. Make your Isha Salah, etc., finish, and khalas, and now you're moving towards seeing the Baytullah for the first time. They say keep your gaze lowered for one reason. And be ready as you enter the courtyard or the mataf area, come out of the sheltered area, inshallah you'll see Baytullah in its full glory with the thousands walking around. Ignore the thousands and be ready to throw your gaze or cast your gaze on Baytullah. It's a very, very emotional moment. Each one will experience a different feel. Many stand there and they shake with hysteria and the tears flow. I have seen one time when I had a group of youngsters, they stood there, they were shaking. You could not believe that young people are standing here and they crying. Allah's mercy was there, Allah softened the heart. What must have been in the mind? Allah, I can't believe it, I'm here. Jiski ziyarat ku ya Rab taraste the ham, you know. Ya Allah, I was yearning for you and you brought me here. Those are tears of joy. We are not taught by the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The moment your gaze falls, okay, I just go back, sorry. Labbaik was carrying on. We entered the haram of Makkah, labbaik carries on. You made your Isha namaz, finish, labbaik carry on, softly carry on. The moment your gaze falls on Baytullah, your labbaik will stop. Because labbaik means I am present. What's the meaning of that? I told you last time. When you put your haram, you said labbaik. Now in that labbaik, you are saying, Allah, I am now responding to Ibrahim alayhi salam, dawat, I am now on the way. I'm in my haram now. Oh Allah, I'm coming, I'm presenting myself, coming, coming, coming. Finally, you there, Allah, I came, way. Khalas. Allahu Akbar, when you something gives you great joy and thrill. Second nature, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahumma anta salam, you all know that. وَمِنْكَ السَّلَامِ You all know? فَحَيِّنَا رَبَّنَا بِالسَّلَامِ At least you know that. There are a few more du'as. Basically, just stop at this one. And you're excited. And then whatever comes to mind now, make du'a. I know people will sit down, will put a whole kitab there, whole volume, mashallah, ye manginge, wo manginge. Especially when you got a group with you, and sometimes that muallim of yours, you must tell him, by listen here. I'm not targeting because I paid for this particular point here. Leave, you're going to carry on, carry on. I want to stand here and make dua to my heart's content. You and I carry on, you keep moving. Let not anybody cut you off, but you also must be at the same time. You know what's going to happen. If they abandon you and pull out, you'll have a problem being umrah, if you don't know your rules. So try to make it short. So yeah, my simple advice to all of you, what do you ask here? Oh Allah, again the same one. I seek your pleasure. I ask you for Jannat. I seek protection from your anger. I seek protection from fire of Jahannam. Oh Allah, I ask you to protect my iman, the iman of my family, and so on, the very basic things. And one simple dua, my friends, come on. Allah Nabi says, when your gaze falls on Baytullah, whatever you ask for, guaranteed you got it. Now you'll have one whole volume by what to ask. Okay, carry your kitab with you. Say, Ya Allah, jo kuch kitab mein likha sab de de. No problem, mashallah. Excellent. But better than that, you must say, Ya Allah, after this moment, whenever, wherever, I pray to Allah, accept my du'as. Admit me in the jamaat of mustajabud da'wat. I promise you, can't be a better du'a than that one. Because no matter where you go after that, inshallah, summa inshallah, you'll be surprised how Allah fulfills the du'a. Okay, theek hai, du'a khatam. We will now go for tawaf. Before we actually get to the line where we start the tawaf, men will adjust the ihram towel. The adjustment of the ihram towel simply means you cover your left shoulder, the cloth goes underarm, you'll see it's very simple, and your right shoulder is exposed. This is called istiba. That you do it before you now get to exercise. Once that is done. Also very important, though if you are in a group, point out or choose some landmark. We don't know what kind of crowd we're going to see there. You'll be holding your wife and now one dhakka, she's gone that way, you go on the other side, and don't look for each other. Keep moving. Carry on. Hum Allah ke mehman hai, but Allah will look after us. But simply because the fikr may come, where is she now? Don't worry, you must say, carry on tawaf, we shall meet there. We shall meet the point, use one suitable spot. And inshallah, you'll make your tawaf without any takzeef on it. That's sorted out. We're now going to start the tawaf of Baytullah. You will notice, first thing in the corner, you have seen pictures of that, the black stone is in the wall, Hajar-e-Aswad. That corner, that section, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Ibrahim alayhi salam to put the stone in as a starting point of tawaf. Okay, number one. Number two, when Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to the tawaf of Baytullah, and everybody was watching how he's going to do it, because he told them, come and see. So what he did, he stood in front of the black stone. But by the time he came on that center line, his niyat was already made. I am about to commence my tawaf. His hands were on the side, and he looked towards the corner where the black stone was. And he said, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, hand up to the ears, walillahil hamd. If you want, you can add, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, hands go down. Women, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, up to the shoulder like in namaz, hands went down. Then the master stepped forward, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he bent down and he actually kissed the black stone. The hands were on the two sides and he kissed it. He raised his head up and he started walking. 100,000 sahaba were here watching him. So, and they were totally disciplined. Unlike what boxing match you'll see there, totally disciplined. And they began to move. Master is moving, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now by that time, he went round, he came corner one, corner two, corner three. The last corner is called Rukne Yamani. Okay. When he came to Rukne Yamani, he was walking close to the wall. And as he went past, sometime with both the hands he touched and walked past, sometime with one. And he moved on. Now by that time, and as he passed that, he said, Rabbana atina fi dunya Allahumma inni yasaluka da'adha du'ade. And right through here was Subhanallah walhamdulillah. Okay. Now by that time he came back, finishing that one round. Sahaba radiyallahu anhu ajma'in are waiting in the queues, no pushing, no dakkam dakki, total discipline, and they're kissing and they're moving. Now you imagine, it must have taken him 2 or 3 minutes to come around, 100,000 people standing in the line, they will do what they saw him do. Okay? Now if Allah Nabi is going to stand here and wait for them, puri raat go jayi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he gave another example. What he did, he turned around, he faced the black stone, Bismillah Allahu Akbar, step forward and put his right hand on the stone while others were bent, right hand, and he kissed the right hand and he kept on moving.
Many of them decided we will do what we saw him do first. Others said, by so long to wait, Allah's Nabi showed a second alternative, we'll do that. And they did that and they kept on moving, mashallah. When he came back the third time, now two things are going on. People are directly kissing or others are touching the hand and they're going. When he came back the third time, now what to do? Now remember, he's an example, he's a role model, he must show them now what to do. He had his asa in the hand. He took his asa and very carefully guided the tip, the other end, onto the stone, brought it back, kissed that, and started doing that. When he came back the fourth time, now he saw somewhere directly kissing, somewhere one hand kissing, somewhere using the asa if they had. You and I don't use asa, but we'll bust somebody's eyes there. Okay? That's out. So he decided, well, wherever he is, we don't know how far he was, I don't know, he just stood, this is what you and I will do. All times. Wherever it was, as long as we are in line with the black stone. Now, before I start with that, let's come back again. Let's go to the first part. You find that black line or dark brown line running across. That tells you, when you stand on that dark brown line, you are directly, your chest is directly in line with the black stone. That's your tawaf starting point. We are taught by our elders, before you get to the actual brown line, stand next to it. There's a brown line here, stand next to it here. Here you make niyat. Oh Allah, I'm making niyat for tawaf, make it easy for me. Step on that. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, illah il, hamd, one. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Now watch this. Your two hands, your palms are now facing the black stone. And you do that. This was shown to us by Rasulullah. When he could not kiss directly, he could not put one hand directly, he could not put the asa there. Wherever he was, he pointed. And by that he showed us, even if you cannot actually touch or kiss the stone, your pointing of your two palms is equal to actually kissing the stone. Kiss the palm of your hand and keep moving. Okay? So you got your four methods, we'll employ three. But for us, forget the one, forget the two. Unless you got all the patience to stand there and wait, and what most likely is going to happen is, you may get closer and closer, and one guy give you one dhakka, you go flying. And you were so eagerly waiting my turn, about to kiss the stone, somebody gave you one push, and you're going to lose your temper. I have seen ihram flying thereby. Safest thing, stay far. Umar ibn Khattab was warned, right? And others were warned. To kiss the stone is sunnah, to hurt others is haram. See? So best thing, stay far, and especially the women, stay. Keep your distance, point your two hands, Bismillah, Allah Akbar, carry on. So we're going to go round one, round two, round three, round four. What do we say? Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wala ila, basic dua. Come by the fourth corner, rukna yamani, Allahumma inni asaluka al-afwa wa al-afiyah rabbana atina. We are told by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at rukna yamani, 70 malaika stationed there permanently. When you reach the point and make this dua, they say Ameen. And like Moana mentioned, very nice thing, he reminded me, at certain points when you are moving, ask Allah for all those things that the past Anbiya asked. In particular, you may say, Ya Allah, like Moana makes Torah the Moana Parasar, Ya Allah, aapke nabi ne jo kuch tawaf karte waqt manga ta, hum bhi wahi mangte. When you're starting your tawaf, istilam, the kissing, Ya Allah, what your nabi asked you, I'm asking for that. When you're going around, at least once you must say that. When you come to Rukna Yamani, say the same thing. Remember Allah, Nabi, all the time. Ya Allah, whatever He asked, I am asking the same thing. When you ended your tawaf, say the very same thing. When you finish the seventh round, you come back on the black line, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, kiss the palm of your hand. This will be now kissing number eight. The next thing to do is to find a suitable spot where you're going to perform your two rakat salah called wajibut tawaf. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his practice was, the way he performed these two rakat salah was, Kaaba is in the front, Maqam Ibrahim is in the center and he's behind it. So this is the way he stood. Now when he did that, the big question was, 100,000 people are here, If all going to wait to perform namaz, same place, we've got a problem. So he told the Sahaba-e-Kiram, you have the entire haram. Perform these two rakat anywhere, it is the same as performing it here. He gave us open license. And lots of people are crowding. The last one I was there in July, maybe Moana went later, they're clearing that whole thing. The Zamzam well is now closed down, and the Tawaf area is now widened, more space. Because normally at this Maqam-e-Ibrahim, there's a bottleneck. Lot of pushing, congestion. Some people are insisting, I will make my namaz here. It causes a problem for Tawaf. You don't add to the congestion. You try to stand in a place where I will cause the least congestion. And don't forget what I told you, before you start the Tawaf, tell your friends, colleagues, partners, etc., if we get separated, not to worry, we shall meet certain place. Right? Perform your two rakat salah, then what do you do? Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the Multazam. Multazam is that short space about 2 meters most. Between the Baytullah and the corner where the black stone is. Multazam means to cling. Cling. Body, face, arms, legs. Attach yourself to the wall like a spider is attached itself. Like what Chipkali, you know Chipkali. One lizard. Attach to the wall. Attach yourself to the wall, multazam. Sometimes the master, of course his hands were raised high. Sometimes the right cheek, sometimes the left cheek. He stood here, he shed tears. He taught the Sahaba-e-Kiram, this is the place where you shed tears. This is the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say no to any dua. Now the space is so small. When you're going to go there, when you're going to start your tawaf, you will notice people are already clinging here. Now you're going to stand and wait for them, wait till whole night by you, won't get chance. So you have to keep moving. So my advice, especially for the women, and you can put yourself in here. No matter where you are standing, but stand in such a way you can see the multazam. You must say, Ya Allah, I have this particular ibadah to perform. I don't have the patience to wait for hours. And even if I get a chance, one bright spark will give me one dakka out of time. Ya Allah, I'm standing here. I cannot get there. Ya Allah, accept my presence as if I am there. And this must apply especially to the woman. Don't go and rub shoulders with men, oh my sisters, and men vice versa with. And when you're making tawaf, there'll be lots of moments there when you will be put through trial. Women will brush past you, men will brush past women. Try and keep your distance, and better than that, don't walk with the thick crowd. Walk on the outer line. It is far safer. Okay. And on that note, my dear sisters, my advice to you, and senior ulama also tell us this, if you're wearing white, make sure you got suitable undergarment inside where your body doesn't show. Because many women, thinking that the haram mashallah is white and they wear white, and without realizing, if something inside is not there, then the underwear becomes visible. And that is not a nice thing, making tawaf baytullah, and you are inviting attention. May Allah protect us. So they have to make sure that the way they cover themselves, right? It is no problem, Ghulam Bhai, if you hold your wife's hand and walk around baytullah in tawaf. That's the safest thing to do. In fact, these days some dramas are taking place while tawaf is on, to try and keep with your partner. I forgot a very, very important thing, and that was ramal. Always forget that, I don't know why. Istiba, I give you istiba, right? This is done. Ramal is simply this. Your first three rounds applies only to the men. We are expected to, as taught by Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, walk in a condition known as ramal only for the first three rounds. What is ramal? Ramal means take your chest out like a proud soldier. I don't know if you guys seen Hitler's army when they walk, you know, with their chest out and they shake their shoulders like proud men. Zameen par hamare jaisa koi nahi hai, you know. Aryan race, they call themselves. Full of pride and walk, you know, with that movement. Hum jaisa koi nahi hai. Now, that action is haram in Islam. But Nabiyye Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam introduced that when they
He brought the Sahaba Ikram for Umratul Qaza. And he said, you walk like this. Islam taught humility. And they were humble. Our master, when he came, when he conquered Makkah Muazzama, nobody was more humble than him. He lowered his body so low, they say his forehead was actually touching the saddle. So humility. He said, Allah, it's only through your help that I have succeeded in capturing this city. Humility is the key. And when you walk in front of Allah, humility. In the namaz, humility. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. But here the master said, put your humility one side, just to show those kuffar who are spectators here, they must not get the wrong idea. Musalman went to Medina, Munawara became weak and khalas, show them that hum hamare andar jaane. But now that condition no longer exists, where people point fingers, but the command exists. So we, when you walk in this so-called arrogance condition, it's an ibadah. Because we drink so, because we commanded by Nabiyyu Kareem. Look, when he came for his Hajj, he walked in the same style. Now that other condition, reason did not exist there, but he walked in that particular style. Theek hai? Alright. Oh, now this you will do Ramal thrice. If there is crowd and congestion, we are told abandon the Ramal. Because you can't walk in Ramal there when the crowd is slow, you will make knock people down there. Right? And you find some people are actually doing the comrade marathon there. Zigzag, this way, that way. I don't call that ibadat. You are on the most sacred ground on which you can put your qadam. Walk there with humility. Only these three rounds employ ramal. Okay, alright. Ye khatam ho gaya. We finish our 2 rakat namaz. We're gonna go to zamzam now. We'll bring zamzam to our hearts. Content, I will cut it short here. And there's one nice dua that you're gonna make there. English, if you can, if you know it, Arabic. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan wasi'a wa shifa'an min kulli da. Oh Allah, I ask you for knowledge that is beneficial. I ask you for abundance of rozi. I ask you for shifa from all bimari. We normally think of with bimari, physical. Go beyond that. Think of the spiritual bimari that we got. That is far worse than the physical one. And Allah, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with whatever niyat you drink zamzam, Allah will fulfill that niyat. Umar ibn Khattab, after a long journey, he came to Makkah Muazzama, made tawaf of Baytullah, made the turaqa namaz, went to Multazam. He is tired, he is thirsty. He came down to zamzam. And when he took the first glass of water in the hand, he's about to drink. He said, Ya Allah, just as I am about to quench my thirst with this water now. He was very thirsty. Oh Allah, I beg of you to quench my thirst on the day of Qiyamah. You know, they taught us some nice things. So take your time and do it. And plenty other duas. Out of Zamzam we come and back to the brown line. Many people forget. We have to come back to the brown line. Istilam, kiss the black stone. And Safa Marwa. Safa Marwa is very, very simple. As we go to Safa Marwa, we are told, Inna Safa wal Marwa tamin. Shairillah, simple line. Get to the little hill called Mount Safa. Many people go right on the top. It's a very short hill. If you look at our length of the wall there, it is not higher than the ceiling. The ceiling is too high. That Mount Safa is short. Many people go on the top. Now you come halfway and now with all the enclosures and walls and what have you, we are told stand in such a manner, such an angle, you'll find a nice spot there, where you can see Baytullah. But what will happen is, if you look at, just look at the back there. See those little bit arches we got, right? Yeah. So through the arches you will just see part of the Gilaf. That's all you want. Face in that direction where you're looking at Baytullah, now you'll pick your hands like you are making dua. First you make niyat. Oh Allah, I am making niyat for Safa Sa'i. Make it easy for me. Bismillah, ya Allahu Akbar in dua. La ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. You know all these words. Right? Finish, say that. And start walking. Your wife is with you, your women are with you. Keep walking, but tell them beforehand. When we're gonna come to the area known as green light, you're gonna run. Not run now, you'll move faster than your normal walk. Ladies are not allowed to run. If there is time, I'll share one point on this particular beach, right? So, once you pass the green line, there's a dua to read. Allahumma Rabbi Khfir Warham Wa Antal Azul Akram. Simple words, you make the dua as you run. Once you pass the green light area, you slow down. Now, I would say, now you slow down so slow, walk, but so slow that it gives the ladies a chance to catch you up. And then you walk together, you get to Marwa. When you get to Marwa, you will again face that direction. Now you cannot see Baytullah because the walls are blocking, but you face the direction, same thing. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, Wadillah, Ilham, La ilaha illallah, Darush Sharif, etc. Make dua and you move. Come back by green light, the same thing, the running there, and you carry on. So in this way, you're going to go up and down 7 times. Safa to Marwa is 1, Marwa to Safa is 2, and carry on, you'll end that Marwa. When you end that Marwa, you got one of two choices. Either from here, take your family to the hotel, or ask them to wait a few minutes one side, and your barber shop is right there, nice competition we see them on. Auction sale competition, forget that. You have your haircut. Now haircut will simply mean you got two choices. Choice number one, put a blade on your entire head. Choice number two, take a number two, number one machine and run the machine on your head. One of two choices. But between the two choices, the better choice is putting the blade on the head. You know why? Nabiyya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked his hand up. He said, Ya Allah, shower your mercy on those who shave the head. One man said, Ya Rasulallah, also those who trim the hair, shorten the hair. Allah Nabi said, Ya Allah, shower your mercy on those who shave the head. Then from there it came again. Also those who shorten the hair. Again he said, Ya Allah, shower your mercy on those who shave the head. And then that it came from there. Also those who shorten the hair. Then he said, also those who shorten the hair. Now you work it out. Three dua ya rahmat for those who shave. One for those who shorten. You went to get Allah's mercy. Put your pride one side. And enjoy Allah's mercy. Women, mashallah, they don't fall in this category. Imagine now, if Mam Sahib has to put a blade on the head by Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilaihi Rajiun, we've got a big problem. Allah's Nabi, Rahmatul Alameen, he advised them, you will shorten your hair from the tail. And how much? Right, there are various degrees here. Simple method, especially those with a long tail, just wrap the tail end round your finger and chop khalas. But then there are some problems. They ask some ulama because different hair condition. I know one lady came to me. She had no long hair at all. She had one small, like, you know, one cottage sticking out from the back here because from the early days she had short hair. I mean, not naturally short now. Unnaturally short now. What do you say? What to now? I have to give special fatwa for her. That's another issue. But the general, because our sisters got long hair, then that's what you do. Take care. Okay. Once we have shaved our hair, trimmed our hair, cut our hair, we are now out of haram. Please don't fall for one trap that you normally see there. Many people will come with that tiny scissors. That scissors is so tiny that has been manufactured just to trim the hair nose. The hair from the? That's what the scissors meant for. And they will come with a scissors there and they say, come, make a little bit of. In a qasar here, two hair you're going to cut off, haram ho gaya. Ignore those fellas. Please ignore those people. Right? Promise you won't do that, because Allah Nabi Sahaba sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the either Nabi put blade on the head, I will follow my Nabi. And make dua ki Allah, in every action here I tried to follow my Nabi, let the rest of my life also be in accordance with my Nabi sunnah, inshallah. And Ya Allah, I have done my best, shower me with your mercy. Right. You also have the allowance to shorten the head, put machine on the entire head. Take care? Once we have attended to the head, we are now out of haram. Now it is mentioned, mustahab, very, very rewarding for a person to perform 2 rakat, nafil salah, at the end of your umrah. If you don't, there's no big deal, no harm. Because by that time you make Safa, Marwa, possibly wuzu broke. Oh yeah, one important point before I forget. When you make in tawaf of Baytullah, you have to keep your wuzu. Because tawaf is like namaz. Namaz needs wuzu, tawaf needs wuzu. If wuzu breaks, then stop, go out, make your wuzu, come back. But anyway, you'll find a way, some way inside to make wuzu. We won't go into that. But go out because fires are quite far as well. And you come back and restart that last round. For example, you made 4 full circles and 1 half, 4 and a half. So you come back and start number 5 all over again. Very, very important. Safa Marwa, if wuzu broke, there's no need for wuzu yet. Nice to have it, but if wuzu broke, it's not a condition. That's the difference between the two. There are some other masail. We don't have time now. Let Moana take over. What time do you give Azan? Oh, inshallah. Let Moana take over because he's got a more important topic to discuss than myself. One more Khalid Sahib will give us some inspiration. One more Azan, inshallah. Salaam. My dear friends, look, if we run short of time, right, stick around after Asr because we won't be finished. Maybe most half an hour will keep you after Asr, most inshallah. Eh?
रहे जाते हैं ये अरमान हाय मेरे सीने में रहे जाते हैं ये अरमान हाय मेरे सीने न काबे की गली देखी न पहुंचा मैं मदीने में न काबे की गली देखी न पहुंचा मैं मदीने में सुना है बरसात होती है मदीने में सुना है नूर की बरसात होती है मदीने में इलाही एक छींटा लगे इलाही एक छींटा लगे हम सब के सीने में इलाही एक छींटा लगे हम सब के सीने में मुहम्मद की जुदाई
सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम
मुहम्मद की जुदाई आग भड़काती है सीने में मुहम्मद की जुदाई आग भड़काती है सीने में रवा जब देखता हूँ काफले रवा जब देखता हूँ काफले हज के महीने में रवा जब देखता हूँ काफले हज के महीने में मजा क्या खाक आए दूर रह कर ऐसे जीने में मजा क्या खाक आए दूर parwa na yahan tadpe ke parwa na yahan tadpe jale shamma madine mein ke parwa na yahan tadpe jale shamma madine mein muhammad is tarah tashreef farma hai madine mein muhammad is tarah tashreef farma hai madine mein ke jaise surah-e yasin hai ke jaise surah-e yasin hai quran ke seene mein ke jaise surah-e yasin hai quran ke seene mein hanif da'e kaha ya rab tadapti rooh ko lekar hanif da'e kaha ya rab tadapti rooh ko lekar tere mahboob ka sadqa tere mahboob ka sadqa tu pahuncha de madine mein tere mahboob ka sadqa tu pahuncha de madine mein rahe ja te hain ye armaan haaye mere seene mein na kaabe ki gali dekhi na pahuncha main madine mein
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now go on to the next part, and that is the 5 days of Hajj. As we all understand that, inshallah, when you go for Hajj, then on the morning of the 8th of Zilhajj, we leave for Mina. But prior to that, we should start making our preparations for the 5 days of Hajj. A few things that we should remember and understand. That few things that we should take with us. For example, we take our haji mat with us. We should take our basic medication that we may need with us for our journey. And it is also good to take a bit of light things to eat. For example, maybe a person can take a few packets of chips with him. Maybe take some biscuits with him. Because these things help you on the way. Fruits, sweets, whatever. And then on the morning of the 8th of Zilhajj, we will perform 2 rakat Sunnat al-Ihram. After completing the Salah in the first rakat, after reading Surah Fatiha, we read Qul Ya Al-Kafirun. Preferably in the second rakat, after Surah Fatiha, we read Qul Allahu Ahad. After we have completed our Salah, if we either have our topis on or have our Ihram over our heads, when we complete the Salah, we remove this. And thereafter, as Maulana had given us the procedure for Umrah, similarly, now with the difference is we make the intention, Allahumma inni uridu al-hajj fayassirha li wa taqabbal minni. Oh Allah, I make the intention of Hajj, make it easy for me and accept it from me. And then we read the dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka ridaka wal jannah wa a'udhu bika min sakhatik wal nar. And we read our labbaik, and now we are in the state of ihram. Now we have a choice. Those that are going by bus, they can go by bus. Those that want to walk can do the walking Hajj. Few aspects that we must understand here. when we are going by bus, before that we should be having arrangements being made with the group that we are going with, that they should be contacting Muassasa, that look, we are a group of 50, we'll be at certain hotel, please come at certain time. Normally they come at that time and they pick us up and they will take us to our tents. They know our tents and they will drop us off our tents. So there's no worry about that. And if there is a small group and they're individuals and have no proper arrangement, then they go to Muassasa office. Muassasa will transport you to Mina. And as for those that are walking, there are various groups that are walking. You have your certain group that you're going with. You meet up at a certain point. If you are not in Makkah Mukarrama, if you're in Aziziya, you can make your groups and you walk and you proceed towards Mina. In this journey that we are walking, very great fazilat, great reward. According to some narration, for every step you take, you get the reward of 100,000. Those that are walking and making Hajj, the angels embrace them. And those that are going by transport, the angels shake hands with them. But again, here the very important thing is you must understand that if you have the strength, you are able, you should do it. If you are feeling you are sick and you can't, then you should go by transport. I generally suggest to the people, try it on the first leg. The first leg is a bit of a short leg and quite a bit of it is covered. That means from Makkah to Mina, you go walking. If you find that you have the strength and you manage well, then you can continue the rest of it walking. Otherwise, you take the transport. There is no such thing that if you started walking, you can't go on the bus, or if you started by the bus, you can't go walking. There is the choice, you can do either. And in this journey, very important thing, understand there is great reward to recite the Labbaik in abundance. According to the narrations, when a person recites the Labbaik, every tree stone to his right and left will bear witness for him on the day of Qiyamah. Till the east, till the west, till far ends of him, they will be testifying for him. The sign of a Haji is that his voice is hoarse. That means he's strained his voice reciting the Labbaik in abundance. And his ihram, the men, it is soiled with dust and with perspiration. So in this way we should be made. Remember, this is a spiritual journey. And this is where we are showing our love for Allah. Ya Allah, if your love lies, then I must leave Makkah Mukarrama and I must go to Mina. And I must leave the comfort of my hotel and go sleep in a tent. Ya Allah, I am prepared for that. This is the spirit of Hajj. This is a journey of love. As some ulama explained, one is a journey of remembrance of death and the other one is a journey of love. In the example of death, they give the example that a person leaves his wife, he leaves his country, he leaves all his luxuries, everything, and he departs. Like a person, when he leaves his world, he leaves everything. Likewise, in Hajj, he leaves everything, and he goes off to a far land. We know we go to customs immigrations, like that the custom immigration of Akhirat is Munkar and Nakir. Like that when we go for Hajj, we have this custom immigration. Then, this Safa, running between Safa and Marwa, they give the example of running between the scales. This going on tawaf is like this condition of nafsi. A person is in a state of worry and fear. That's the one example. The other example is a journey of love. That Ya Allah, if your love lies, then I must take out this fancy clothes of mine and put on an ihram, I am ready for that. Ya Allah, if your love lies, then I must leave Makkah to Mukarrama, I must go to Mina, I will do that. If I must shout at the top of my voice and say, Ya Allah, I am ready, Ya Allah, I love you, I am ready for you, you will be prepared to do that. Ya Allah, if your love lies, then I must pick up stones. Under normal circumstances, you see, an adult will not be picking up stones from the ground. But Ya Allah, if your love lies there, I am prepared to do that. If my love is there to show you that I hate your enemy, who is my enemy and your enemy, and I'll fling stones at it to show I have absorbed myself, I have divorced him, I will do that. This is what this whole thing is about. The shaving of your hair, if it lies that Ya Allah, my love is, if I'm to take out, shave my hair, I'm prepared to do it. This is a journey of submission, a journey of love. This is how it goes. When we will get to Mina, respected elders and brothers, it is a valuable time. It is said that that person who spends his time in ibadat in Mina, his sins are forgiven. So we should dedicate ourselves. Think to ourselves, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam had come here. Yeah. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam had come here, and on the way, he had pelted the shaitan, the small shaitan, the middle, medium shaitan, the big shaitan. that stood for Ismail alayhi salam, representing Ibrahim, Hajar alayhi salam, and Ibrahim alayhi salam. They tried to stop them. So here again we are showing that we hate the shaitan. We will not follow the shaitan. That is the one aspect of Mina. Another great significance of Mina, this is the place that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had given dawah to the Ansar and they accepted the invitation. You must remember that incident. And this is from, that was the beginning of Islam reaching Medina and spreading throughout the world. So this is the time that if we have time beside our ibadat to talk to people about deen, to encourage them about deen, to tell them that inshallah when I go back home I have resolved and I made the intention I'm going to change my life for this. What intentions have you made? This is what Mina is about. Remember, this is that place. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going from tent to tent in Mina. He's inviting the people towards Islam. And his uncle and others were flinging stones at him and abusing him. Have that feeling of here. What Qurbani Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made, even in Mina, inviting people to Allah. Here in Mina, basically we will perform 5 salah. We leave after Fajr from Makkah al-Mukarramah, we did Zuhar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr salah. As for those that are going by bus, beloved brothers, don't get excited. It is the responsibility of the people of the Muassasa to ensure that they must get you to Arafat. However, whatever. So don't get excited that you want to rush into the first bus and become chaotic over there. If you have to leave at 9 o'clock, I say it's better. Or if they delay in your bus and you left at 11 o'clock, better. Why? In Arafat, there is no aircon. Yeah, at least there is some aircon. So you relax a bit. As for those that are walking, I suggest that what we normally do, that we who do the walking Hajj, we leave before Fajr from our tents. About 45 minutes before, and we proceed towards the border of Muzdalifah. There we perform our Fajr Salah, and then we proceed so that before the sun hits us, we are close into Arafat. And alhamdulillah, we try not to walk very fast, we try to keep in mind the back people, the elderly and the weak and the ladies, and this is how we do our walking Hajj. And in this way, we will reach Arafat on the 9th. When we get to Arafat, beloved brothers, if it's before Zawal we are there, take a short rest. Prepare for Zuhar Salah, we'll perform Zuhar Salah, that is when our wukuf start. And really, respected elders and brothers, there's 2-3 very important things that you must remember about Arafat. This is the day when Allah is coming to the lowest skies.
In the daytime.
This is when Allah is ready to accept. Every dua is accepted. Allah is forgiving you. You'll be returning from here like a newborn baby, no sins on you. Every person. Such a significant place this is of Arafat. This is where Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam had met. And this is where they had made the dua, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala had forgiven them of their mistake at this place. Everybody that goes to Arafat, they say to them, even if they go for the first time, they're already there for the second time. Why? When we were in the form of our souls, in Wadi al-Nu'man, which is in Arafat, Allah Ta'ala showed Adam al-Islam's entire progeny over there, in Arafat. Such a significant place it is. This is where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had given that last farewell Hajj, that bayan, and addressed the people. This is where that beautiful ayat was revealed, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Al-Islam Adina. Such an important ayat was revealed over here. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave that important khutbah, I say to the people, read this khutbah and digest it over here and make amal upon it over here. This is such a significant place that when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was riding the camel and Mudim was Fadl ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and a woman stopped by and to ask Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a question, so Fadl ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma began to look at this woman with different intention. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned his face and said, this is not a place to do this Although it's wrong at all times, but even more here. Very important that the maslahs of parda should be enforced, and we should be very particular of this. We are going to a sacred journey. Tests will come in Mina, very important also. A lot of time we see the men, women come and send us message, Maulay Sahib, please tell the men, don't just come and barge into our tent, there are ladies there in parda, they do not want to be seen by the men. But there is a great laxity of here. Very, very particular day in Mina, as well as in Arafat, and in our whole journey. This is the journey, that is why it is, Allah has emphasized this more here, because there will be more mixing of the male and the female, the ladies may come, be careful of protecting our gazes. But in Arafat, we will perform our Zuhr Salah, we will perform our Asr Salah. Duas will be accepted after Zuhr, spend our time in Niflafil Ibadat, spend ourselves in Zikr, Asr Namaz will perform, thereafter we'll make dua again, and at the time of sunset, I'm using the word sunset, not Maghrib. At the time of sunset, when the sun has set, thereafter we'll proceed to Muzdalifah. Now few advices I give you, those that are going by buses, here again it is hangami halat, it is chaotic. When you get to the out of your tent, you'll see there are so many people are waiting. Some are sitting in the buses, and some are fighting to get in the buses. This group's bus is here, that group bus is not here. I say to the people, my personal opinion for those that are going for the bus, from my personal experience of the past, I found those that are going by bus, most often than not, the bus will only leave you at Muzdalifah. Don't take a bus. Don't take a bus. 1.5-2 hours after sunset, you'll get these private coasters. It may cost you 10 riyals. Tell that guy, tell that brother, make a group of 28, 30, whatever the coaster can take, tell him to drop you off at Muzdalifah. And tell him, Hudud Mina, to drop you as close as possible to the border of Mina. You see purple, what you call, signs they're showing you, border of Mina, or end of Muzdalifah. Tell him to drop you off over there. You see, these coasters, that night, they want to make the maximum business. They will look at the shortest or the easiest or the route that is very quiet, and they will try to weave their way through the traffic and try to get you, because they want to come back and make more loads. The more loads they're making, the more money they're making. So their desire is to get you, to shuttle you there and come back and take another load. So if you can get one of these taxis, one of these coasters, 1.5-2 hours when that initial crowd is off, inshallah, you'll reach much quicker than the buses, because from my years of experience, I found that a lot of time, the bichara, those that sit in the buses, reach much later than us. Much later than us. Those we do the walking, those that come by bus come late. In fact, even last year, we found that those that came by bus reached almost asr time in Arafat. And we were there about 10 o'clock, we had our good rest, we made our ibadat. But khair, Allah knows best, this is what hajj is about. Paipada rahmatullah alayhi used to say, hajj, the meaning of hajj is, what you desire does not will happen, what Allah will happen. And Allah is testing anybody and everybody. It doesn't mean that, you know, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahib is, mashallah, experienced haji, he go with him, sab kuch banega, sab kuch theek hoga. He can be how experienced, you will find that sometimes it doesn't work out, and somebody may not be experienced, he may find it easy. This is hajj. There is no such thing that experience, whatever Allah will happen over there. This is your test, Allah will test you, and this is a test of your sabr. That whenever these kind of tests come, I know I'm being tested, I must make sabr. Halat will come, conditions will come. Everything will not be perfect. So this is what we must understand, we are not on a holiday over here. Khair. So we will get at sunset, those that are going by bus, or can take the buses that have been fixed for you, or if you can get private transport, I would suggest that's a better option. And request to them to drop you off at the border of Mina, so that the next morning your walk is short into Mina. And as for those that are walking, normally we walk about a half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour after sunset, we proceed and we walk towards Muzdalifah. When we reach Muzdalifah, I always suggest, even those that are walking, those that are going by bus, get as close as possible to Mina. There you should perform your Maghrib and Isha Salah together. Azan will be called, Iqama, read your Maghrib Salah, then you read your Isha Salah, then you read your Sunnat and your Witr. And this is a very, very important night. Maghrib will be performed at Isha time. Whenever you read Muzdalifah, you will perform your Maghrib and Isha. Ji. Muzdalifah. Ji. Beloved brothers, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua according to the time that he took. He stood and made dua, sat and made dua, picked his hands, dropped his hands in Arafat. They worked out the time that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spent in dua in Arafat was 6 hours. But one dua Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was made was not accepted, or at that time Allah Ta'ala did not accept it in Arafat. That, oh Allah, forgive the zalim and the mazlum. Forgive the one that is the oppressor and the oppressed. The oppressed is being forgiven, but the oppressor was not forgiven. To show what an important thing it is not to harm people, not to cheat people. That dua wasn't accepted in Arafat. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so much concerned, he made the dua again in Muzdalifah, that dua was accepted in Muzdalifah. From this we can understand how important Muzdalifah is. And duas that are accepted in Muzdalifah. After we have performed Maghrib Isha, we can spend some time in Nafil Ibadah. And thereafter, our duas, we can pick up our stones that part of the night, or immediately after Fajr, whenever we get a chance, we pick up stones. If we are going to be stoning, for example, on the 10th, 11th and 12th, and we are not going to be staying till the 13th. So for the 11th and 12th, we will pick up 21 stones, and for the for the first day, we pick up only 7 stones. That all means 49. But if you take a little bit more, the better. And if you are spending till the 13th also, then you pick up an extra 21 stones. Preferably the stones, I would say, little bit bigger than, what say chana size. Chana size should be about right. Size of,
Smarties size.
Only the smart is a bit flat, that is a bit roundish. That should be the size of the stone that you pick up in Muzdalifah. You pick up these stones, and we will perform our Fajr Salah in Muzdalifah. And thereafter we will proceed to Mina. On reaching Mina, on the first day, any time as soon as you reach over there, you will pelt only the big shaitan. Only the big shaitan. 7 stones, 1 stone at a time. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Rajmam li shaitan wa rida li rahman. My advice, and I have found from experience, it is better, unless you are healthy, you feel you can manage it, you can stone in the morning part. Otherwise, if you've got ladies with you, don't rush. Stone after Zuhr. It's quiet at that time. Go in after Zuhr and don't panic, beloved brothers. Really, Allah's fazl, I don't think stoning is very difficult. Something different you're hearing. Many times you hear it's very hard. This happened, that happened. I say it large extent is because of ignorance and stupidity and carelessness that this happens. From my experience, really it is not difficult stoning. Hear it again, not difficult. If you do it the right way. I'll just give you some rundown about how you should go about it. See, when we get to the Jamarat to stone the shaitan, the method is this. For example, on the first day we're going to be stoning only the big Jamarat. We should get together, if you're going in a group, get close to the Jamarat, choose a pillar, that see, this is where we will come back and meet after we stone. There are number there, or we can choose different colors, we can see the signs, and what we do, we go alone. If we've got ladies with us, leave whatever, if you've got luggage with us, leave our luggage, leave the ladies there. Go alone first. Stone, take your 7 stones with you only, stone one stone at a time, we'll pelt 7 and we come back. Now as we are going, you will see a big crowd. That crowd is not there for 1 hour. They are only there, some of them they go in a group for, they may only take 2 minutes. As soon as they move out, you'll see a huge gap going, then you move into that gap. While you're walking, you see this train of Nigerians or the train of whichever country is walking past, hold on, let them move past, then you cut through. Very simple. And then you control, thereafter you take the ladies. Now you don't have the fikr of stoning, only you got the wife or the mother or sister, and you sort of surround them or the elderly, and you tell them, bring them as close as possible, and then you should pelt. Inshallah, if you take these few things into consideration, it won't be difficult. On the first day, we stone only the big shaitan. Thereafter, if we have appointed people to do our qurbani, we go to our hotel, wait for them to tell us, look, now you have made your qurban, you have done the slaughtering of the goat or sheep, whatever you're doing, and thereafter you shave your hair, the men, the ladies will remove, just cut around the end of their, what you call, hair, they make it on the finger and they cut as Maulana explained for Umrah, and now you're out of ihram. I say everything is halal besides husband-wife relationship. Thereafter you go and do your tawaf. Good time for tawaf, I find, on the first night at about 10 o'clock. People normally perform the Isha Salah, they go on to eat, etc. About 10 o'clock, 10 to 11 is a bit of a quiet period. Thereafter, it gets a bit heavy again. 10 to 11, if it's possible, do your tawaf and ziyarat. Normal, like how you did the Maulana explained, you do your tawaf and you do your Safa Marwa, and thereafter you have completed your tawaf and ziyarat. This is one of the faraz of Hajj. If you can't do it on that day, you can do it the next of the 11th and till the what do you call evening of the 12th or 13th, huh? 12th. Till the evening of the 12th, you have to do your tawaf and ziyarat. If a lady is not in the state of salah, then she should do it before she leaves. Before she leaves Saudi, before she leaves to come back home, she must do it. It is a faraz of Hajj. And lady who is not in the state of salah, she will do everything of Hajj besides performing her salah and tawaf and ziyarat. She will go to Mina, Arafat, everything. Here is a very important point I'd like to mention, the masla point. A lot of ladies will ask this question about taking the tablets. I say, let it go according to the natural system. Do not take the tablets, you're going to put yourself into any inconvenience. A lot of ladies take the tablets and the thing works against them. It can be quite difficult and hard for them. Go through the normal system. What do you call, if you know that you're going to be not in the state of salah, on the date of your flight, you either postpone your flight or work your flight such a way that only when you're parked, then you can do a tawaf of ziyarat, tawaf of wida, and then you should proceed back home. So this is a very important factor concerning the ladies. Besides this, as I said to you, on the 11th, you'll pelt, 12th, you'll pelt, and if you're in a state of 13th, you can pelt also on the 13th. You should pelt after Zawal, on the 11th and the 12th, and the 13th, you can pelt from the morning. As my suggestion and my experience, I found that immediately after Zawal, it's hectic there. I find that it is a bit quiet, there's a lull in the crowd when the Asr Azan is called in Masjid Al-Khayf. You'll hear the Azan being called. If by that time you are near the Jamarat, you should walk towards getting there at Asr time and perform. I have to do the pelting of all the three Jamarat, the small, the middle and the big. After the small you make dua, after the middle one you make dua, after the big one you do not make dua. And this same procedure you perform on the 12th, and on the, if you take till the 13th, you go about the same procedure. Only difference on the 13th, you can't pelt after Fajr, but it's sunnah after Zuhr. Few important aspects again here. If you are pelting, if you've got women folk, it's permissible to pelt in the night. Even at 12 o'clock in the night. And even the masla is this, on the 12th, and you do not want to stay till the 13th. As long as you are not there till Subah Sadiq, you can stone. After that, after Maghrib you can stone. But again, after Maghrib is busy. I'll say go 11 o'clock in the night. Allah has not made it difficult, beloved brothers. So if you've got ladies, if you've got people that are finding it difficult to go up between Zawal till Maghrib, go after Maghrib, go after Isha. No problem. Is that clear with you, beloved brothers? Gee. And this, in this way, inshallah, you can say your Hajj is done. The only thing that is left out is your Tawaf Wida, which is wajib. Basically, you call that your farewell tawaf, which is your last tawaf, you perform that, and thereafter you proceed home. Basically, this in short will cover your 5 days of Hajj. Ji, anything else, Mohammed? Ji, the few points that I find also, Mawlana just mentioned about Hatim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that whoever will perform his salah inside the Hatim is like actually performing inside the Kaabatullah. But it's very difficult to get there, especially at namaz times. What I normally do is that if I prefer to perform my salah actually on the mataf. So what I do is that I notice as Isha time gets closer, they start clearing the area close to the Kaabatullah for salah. So what I do is that I sort of go close to the Kaabatullah to perform my Isha salah, or when I say Maghrib salah. Actually I go to the section just where that they put a sort of barrier. So the people are out of the Hatim, they put a barrier there. As soon as the Janazah Salah is over, or the Isha Salah is over, and there's no Janazah, they open that. And then if you close by, you just go inside there, and Alhamdulillah, you can get your Salah over there in the Hatim. Also blessed place, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to lie down over there. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, duas are accepted over there, so we can benefit from this. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that chest was put over there. His heart was washed at this at the Hatim. So it's very, very significant, very beneficial. Khair, this is some of the things about Hajj. One, two other important points I'd like to mention to you. Some of our Kabirin had so much azmat of Baytullah, of of the Arafat, etc., some of them, the ihram cloth, they would take it home and wash it. They say this is the dust of Arafat is on it, and they would put that water in the gardens. Mm. Others, the clothes with which they made the tawaf as ziyarat, they would take that, bring it home, wash it, and put it in the garden. Say, this is, I made tawaf with this. That is the azmat and the greatness that was in the heart. Allah give us the azmat of the Mubarak places in our heart. Inshallah, there was some questions and answers. Anybody want any questions they can ask? And I said, if there are any questions, inshallah, Maulana will handle the question, inshallah.
You can handle, why? Inshallah. It'll be okay.
Anybody got any questions?
Both will handle it. Why only Maulana? Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah.
For somebody who, are there any du'as that are compulsory, or are all the du'as maskul for during Umrah and Hajj?
The question here is, are there any du'as that are compulsory? Compulsory meaning farz. Or are all the du'as sunnah? Right. Most of the du'as are sunnah. In fact, there is no du'a that is farz, technically speaking. You may call labbaik a du'a. Labbaik is not a du'a. Labbaik is a declaration, O Allah, I am present, I am responding to the da'wat of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Right? That's the only farz. Because without that you can't be in ihram. All the other du'as are sunnah, and definitely you'll need to get one or two kitabs. And I personally recommend Mawana Muhammad Sayyid Banu's two kitabs. One is this one here. It's called Kitabul Hajj and Umrah. Very nicely written, very, very simple, the different types of Hajj. Then you need another kitab, also by Mawana Banu, where you got the du'as of Hajj and Umrah. That you must carry with you. But another important piece of advice, whilst you may love to read the du'as in Arabic, write, understand the English. You rather talk to Allah wherever necessary, I should say, in your language, than to talk to Allah in a foreign language, right? Okay. Then there is another kitab also by Mawana Banu, Rules and Regulation for Women. Islamic bookshops have got it, and I know Al Ansar bookshop definitely has a copy. Okay, so that's it. Basic du'as to learn. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi dunya wal-akhirah. Your fourth kalama, you all know, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam fa hayyana rabbana bis-salam. Allahu akbar, all of you know. Right? The tawaf beginning, Bismillah, Allahu akbar, La ilaha illallah wa as-salamu ala rasulillah. These are basic things that you must use in those special ibadats. Otherwise, wherever, talk to Allah in your own language, and you'll find a difference. Now you know what you are saying. Okay. Anything else while I share with you one or two points? Right. Everybody has the desire to make salah in the Baytullah, but the Baytullah is locked. When Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, arrange for me the opening of Baytullah, the Kaaba, so I can perform two rakat salah in there. Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Aisha, come with me. And she says, he held me by my hand, and he took me straight across the Mataf area. He took me in the Hatib. He said, Ya Aisha, perform your two rakat namaz here, because this is also Baytullah. Baytullah is not the walls. Baytullah is the ground. The walls make it bait, house. But the site is the sacred ground. So what happened was, part of the sacred ground was left out of the building. Because the kuffar, when they were rebuilding the Baytullah, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was about 35 years old, when the Kaaba was being, you know, rebuilt, they ran short of halal money, they stopped here. So it was a good thing for us. I'm not going to Madinah. So go there. You must decide on your time. And one word, they say patience is the key word. What is patience? Relax, bide your time, I will get there. And I promise you, I've been inside Hatim many times. Right? And the best place in the Hatim to stand and cling to the wall and make dua is where the gutter is sticking out, that's called Mizab Rahmat. I promise you, Ghulam Bhai, won't take you 5 minutes. You'll be on the end there. In 5 minutes, you're going to get there. Okay, most 50 minutes, come on. Nobody going to stand there. Grow slowly, that fella come out, you creep, and you come there. And now you don't park there for the 1 hour, no? You just park there sufficient to ask Allah whatever you have to ask and move away. Like others moved away, you move away. Then you got that whole section there, 2 rakat salah. Right? And very, very important, keep azmat of the place in your heart. Don't forget what I said in the very, very beginning. You are walking on that Mubarak ground on which walked Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The reward of ibadat in this place, wallah, you won't get at home. Look at Makkah Muazzama. The Master says sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one act of ibadat here, even if it's 1 rakat salat here, is multiplied by 100,000. I worked that out, 4.5 lifetimes of ibadat. 4.5 lifetimes, if Allah gave you a life of 65 years, right? 15 years is your maturity, so you got 50. 4.5. 1 rakat namaz here, and where are you going to get a chance like that? Try to make your salah in the haram. As far as the sisters are concerned, you must adopt the command of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I know we have the shock, I know we have the desire, especially Madina Munawwara, to make the salah there. We will not stop anybody. But take the Nabi's advice, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the women asked about their salah, he said, perform salah in the privacy of your home. Your salah in the privacy of your home is far more virtuous than your performing salah fi masjidi hadha, than in this masjid of mine. But don't force anyone who does not want to, let them go. Nabi didn't stop them, but he encouraged. You understand the difference here. Go and go. Alhamdulillah, in Makkah, Madina Munawwara, we got the facilities there, the sentries are there, and there is no sort of clashing men and women. But in Makkah Muazzama, because tawaf is the key word here, right, so we have this clashing. But keep your mind and your eyes under control. Like I said in the beginning, my mother, my sister, my daughter. Oh, Jazakallah, we forgot this. See, you have heard the term Qurbani throughout your life. But when it comes to Hajj, we don't hear Qurbani, we hear the term Dam. Dam means blood. Okay? Nice question this came, mashallah. See, those of us who are not in Hajj, on the 10th of Zilhijjah, we, locals, we perform Eid Salah and we make Qurbani. Tick, khalas. The Haji don't make Qurbani. Although it's not in the animal. Our home Qurbani is called Udhiya. Arabic term, and we Urdu English we say Qurbani. The Haji, his Qurbani is called Dam. Blood. What kind Dam? Dam of Shukr. Thank Allah. Thank Allah how? Let's go back. Moana mentioned, from Muzdalifa you came to Mina. You had 7 stones, you went to Jamarat and you lambasted him. 1, 2, 3. Now lambasting means don't hit the stone. There is a semi-secular wall there. They must throw in there. My first Hajj, Mr. Mullah, when he went there, I stood now, waited, alhamdulillah, Allah made the Hajj very easy. That time, may Allah accept it as well. Ameen. You stood there and you like to see some fun sometimes. You know, let's make it a little bit humorous. You know. The one character ran, cut through the crowd, scaled that wall, climbed halfway up the pillar, took the champal and is giving that pillar damadam masta kalandari. You know? This is not stone in Jamarat. He was in a frenzy. Sunnah is to get that stone inside that wall. That pillar is just a symbol to mark the spot. colors. Alright. So when we stone the, we threw the seven stones. Now the next thing is, in order to come out of ihram, we have to shave the head. But before we can put blade on the head or scissors on the tail end of the sister's hair, we have to thank Allah for bringing you here for Hajj and for helping you to at least be present in Arafat and giving Shaitan his damada masta kalandar. So you thank him. So this thank is called dame shukar. Until you don't slaughter the animal, you can't touch your hair. That is why another key word. Like Moana mentioned, some people make arrangements. In fact, this we must share with you. They have this coupon system, and what have you. You use your discretion. Coupon system, if say 30 guys get together, they say, okay, we're buying the coupon. Then the 30 guys will choose one rep. Mr. Sheikh will be chosen, for example. Mr. Sheikh will go to the slaughterhouse at a certain part of the day, towards the afternoon, and he will produce his receipt. Yeah, I've got 30 people's names here. They will now pull out 30 animals. Bismillah, Allah Akbar. The Mr. Sheikh witnesses that. He'll come back and say, right, by Qurbani Khatam. Then they will shave their head. There are other people as well, like Madrasa Salatiya, Maulana Abdul Hafiz Makki, but I do not know the story now. When you go to them, they'll help you with your Qurbani. And you say, by when must I cut my hair? They say, by we can't tell you exactly, but be assured, by sunset your Qurbani is done. Because communication is an issue. Right? One agent that I know of, right, you can ask me afterwards, not fair to advertise this particular agent. When you come from Muzdalifah into Mina, right, you go and stone the Shaitan. When you finish, you go to your camp, wherever, and then he's got a person sitting there by the phone with his book there, and all the names are there, his particular group. Right, Abdul Rahim Khan, you finished on Jamarat? Yes. He make tick. It's okay, he'll phone. It's right, Abdul Rahim Khan hit his Qurbani. Ismail Dawood hit the Qurbani. Aisha Khan hit the Qurbani. Zubeda Akunji hit the Qurbani. So, it's in session there. Now it's right. Your Qurbani is being cut. By the time you get to Makkah, because you're not going to shave, you're going to go to Makkah, you can safely go and put the blade on the head. But even more safer will be wait till sunset. Wait till sunset, there is no hurry, because nobody is going to go now straight away Baitullah to make tawaf. Tawaf, there is not congestion, I don't know, congestion is going to cut congestion over there. Right? So don't even waste your time going there. Relax, have a shower, have your supper, and like Moana mentioned, after Isha, within the hour, make sure you're there, and you can make your tawaf. Ziyarah, but it is heavy. Very, very heavy. Again, patience is the key word. You're going to get smashed, knocked around, pushed around. I had my fair share of it, mashallah. Right? Even Safa Marwa is heavy, but patience is the key word. Allah, you brought me and make it easy. Oh Allah, you brought me and make it easy, and somehow Allah will make it easy for you. Any questions? Quickly, you don't have time.
Now that you make the intention for Hajj,
when
do we start reciting?
Will we start reciting? No. Jazakar, nice question. When you are at Bir Ali, you go to Medina first. Those who are going Medina Munawwara, they put on the outfit, they'll come to Bir Ali. There's a very big mosque there. It's called Zul Hulaifa Masjid. Very massive mosque, over 1,000 bathrooms and toilets and showers. Massive mosque. And 24 hours people are coming, going. Like I said before, you can shower here. After you are on the musalla, you made your 2 rakat namaz, if it is halal time, not makruh time. Okay? And you made your niyat, now you say labbaik. There's your labbaik. This labbaik gets you into ihram. You carry on with your labbaik right through until you see Baytullah. Ye umrah ho gaya. Once you saw Baytullah, labbaik finish. Where is it? We go now to Hajj. I'm teaching you again. When you, on the 8th of Zilhijjah, you're gonna go to Mina. midnight or so, you will shower, etc., put a haram on and make your 2 rakat namaz and say niyat for hajj and make labbik. Your labbik carries on one way until you come by Jamarat. Muzdalifah became Mina. Go Jamarat with your 7 stones. Labbik Allahumma labbik, labbik Allahumma labbik. Once you are about to stone Jamarat, labbik stops. There's your labbik time. No labbik now. Labbaik is only said in halat of ihram. Okay. So inshallah, look, you will get your advices there, ask each other, and these are the books that are recommended. Inshallah, those who may attend Al-Ansar program next week, this is my little humble effort. It's called Umrah, a step-by-step guide by yours truly. This is a simple method of following to help you perform the Umrah, because you're on your own. With the Hajj, mashallah, you're moving with the crowd, the whole Jamaat is there, so no hassle. Why this is very, very important, I'm not praising myself, but many a people that went with the group to the Haram, you know, one leader is there, they tell about this Admi. You don't know what the Haram condition is. Sometimes there is such a crowd there, and when you're entering, Babu Salam, entering that, there's some people coming here, you're going in, and your whole crowd breaks like one tasbih bead breaks. Koi udar gaya ki udar gaya. One Hajj, I had about 25-30 people with me. I'm the captain of the team. We just crossed over Safa Marwa. We entered the inside, and there was one rush after Fajr Namaz that came out. It broke our entire group like Bikre or Moti we scattered about. Well, my wife, she used the super glue. So she stuck, mashallah. Another friend, he stuck with me, another man's wife, 4 of us, right, together, and all patches scattered. I spent about 2 hours searching for them. I'm the captain, Koini Mila. Okay, come on, Bismillah, we made our Umrah, Tawaf, and etc., etc., khalas. But the beauty part was, those who had this book, like how you in the kitchen will make one cup of tea or make some samosa and bhajia. Those who had this, followed this and succeeded in performing the Umrah very, very easily. So study this, right, and make life easy for yourself. A lot of people, even small kids, were able to follow this. Because the Umrah is your first step in your Hajj, and it must go well. Any more sawal, man? Jazakallah, very nice question. Right. Let me explain 2 things here again. This is a nice question. Dhamme shukr. Or the question is it permissible to make qurbani at home? Now, let me understand it from my experience. We spoke about us making qurbani at home. We spoke about Hajj qurbani, which is called dhamme shukr. Right. I would like to think this is not Dhamme Shukr question. I would like to think this is home Qurbani question. But say suppose it is Dhamme Shukr question. Dhamme Shukr, the one that Qurbani that we make there after stoning Jamarat, by the law of Allah, it must be slaughtered in the precincts of the Haram Sharif. Be it Makkah itself, the city, be it Muzdalifah, be it Mina, anywhere within the Haram Sharif boundary, it can't be slaughtered outside. Okay? That's called Dhamme Shukr. This Dhamme Shukr cannot be performed in Medina as well. It must be done in the Haram Makkah boundary. Not Haram Mikat boundary, Haram Makkah boundary. If it's done outside, it's not valid. We have those people, mashallah, who make annual qurbani every year. Now they've gone for Hajj. Learn one masla quickly. They are now gone for Hajj. On the rule of home qurbani, qurbani is wajib only on a wealthy person who is not a musafir. You're not a musafir. On that person, qurbani wajib. For example, my good friend Mullah went away to make Eid with his mother-in-law in Cape Town for 3 days. He went 2 days before Eid and 1 day after he came back. One week he went there, right? Musafir. You came back after 5 days after Eid. Now in that period you were in Cape Town, you were musafir. So although you are rich, rich meaning you qualify to make qurbani, qurbani not farz on you. If you don't want to make, no big deal. Understand a maslaya. So when a person goes for Hajj, if he is 15 days and more in Makkah Mu'azzama, he is Muqim, not Musafir. If he is 14 days and less, he is called Musafir. Dame Shukar you got to make to come out of Ihram. But this home Qurbani, according to the Hanafi Mazhab and law, if you are not a Musafir in Makkah, then you also liable for the home Qurbani, which you can, if you want to, leave money behind and make at home. And if you can afford with the exchange, mashallah, good right now, then the best advice, do that home qurbani there, because the reward is greater. But the only unfortunate part is, you won't be able to take some ghosts home because of the things there. So you rather make your home qurbani in your house and make that one there. And even if that home qurbani is not wajib, if you can afford to make it, do it, because the reward that you get for that, you'll never get again. Okay. Anyway, we hope that this... Yes, bhai.
If you are spending 8 days in Medina,
ji, bhai,
and you're not doing namaz with jamaat, suppose you didn't have time to prepare yourself and make salam when you got there, you recall namaz?
Alright, very simple. I'll answer this. The question is, we are in Medina Munawwara for 8 days. Jazakallah for that. Very important question. We are in Medina Munawwara for 8 days. Allah's fazl, all men as best as possible perform all the salah with jamaat in Haram Sharif. And don't forget, why do they perform in Haram Sharif? Allah Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one who performs 40 salah in my masjid, I guarantee him freedom from nifaq, hypocrisy, freedom from many other things. Hey, fire of Jannam, etc., etc., etc. So people will make sure that they make all 40 salah in the mosque. For some reason, whatever, you miss the jamaat in the haram. You're now making your own isha or your asr or your zohar. Being a musafir, you make only two. Why I'm saying the question very important, I said before, Allah Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the women, it is better for them to perform the salah in the privacy of the home than fi masjidi hada. So if they want to adopt that particular advice, so when they make their salah in the hotel room, the Zuhar, Asr, Isha, 2 rakat. If ever they got the shock to come to Haram Sharif, if you make it with the Imam, you follow Imam. If you make it alone, the first salah, 2 rakat. In Makkah Mu'azzama, throughout your journey, your stay then, and listen very carefully, very important, then you stop inshallah. 15 days means, from the day you came into Makkah until the 8th of Zilhijjah, we count 15 days. Listen again. From the day you entered Makkah till you leave for Mina, the day before is the 7th. That 7th must be your full 14 days. If that is your term, you are now Muqim. If it is less than that, you are now Musafir. Understand
Allah
that rule.
Okay.
We have to make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us and our gathering, Allah make easy for all of you that are going. Allah open the door for me and my family as well. Allah accept our contribution and I'm making a special dua for many people out there who are, for some reason the door is closed for them to go to Makkah. Allah open the doors for them. Hajj is farz on them and there is a barrier. Allah remove the barrier. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all, and don't forget my dear friends, on my behalf, on my wife's behalf, on family's behalf, on all of us behalf, and Yaqub Bayyeh, convey our salam to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr Siddiq, and Umar ibn
Khattab.
All those who are going for Hajj, we have some envelopes here, some duas here, you may, oh yeah, one second, you see this shoe I showed you, after Asr Salam. If you want to, interested, 50 rand is sold out. So I got no commission on this one. You can just buy it from the 50 rand. Moana Shoaib Jibai will also give something, inshallah, on Madina Shoaib after Namaz.